I'd already taken the edible, right? So I get on the plane, finally. I'm a little buzzed from my cocktail, and then the edible kicks in, and then the plane takes off, and I get super woozy and feel super nauseous. So
mixture.
I get up. Yeah,
yeah,
the mixture, and the air pressure, all that fucked me up. So I get up. I start to walk to the
getting
back.
Up's a problem, too,
dude,
because you got to stand.
I got up, and I felt my ass down. My head hit the middle of the aisle. And
what do you mean? What do you mean?
I fell down. Hit one of the passed head, out. The head hit
the handrest or just the floor?
No, like the floor. Like I literally passed out in the aisle backwards. And then all of a sudden I hear, I'm blacked out, but I can hear people and I hear, is there a doctor on board?
I'm like, oh my God.
I just ate an edible. Swear to God, I feel incredible. Swear that my texting is no longer legible. I got the pussy you put on the pedestal. Tell her to leave and come bring me back revenue. Getting paid down to the decimal. Medical vegetable. I'm so professional. My life's a festival. I'm just so messed up in the mental. I feel like I just jumped out the window.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. How are you? It's starting to rain. This is a mistake to start recording right now. Hey, everybody. On today's episode, I interviewed a very special guest, Auntie Dolores. That's not her real name, but she makes edibles. She makes some of the best marijuana edibles that you will find in dispensaries all over NorCal and SoCal. Right now, I know they're available at the Russians next to Ralph's on Sunset. That's what Joey Diaz calls them. Just because a couple Russians worked there once. But next to Rock and Roll Ralph's on Sunset, they have them there. And they have them tons of other places, too, in the Valley. They're great. They are great. And she makes her living making and selling marijuana edibles. She makes all sorts of stuff. Cookies, brownies, popcorn. There's caramel corn. What else was there? Lollipops. Ooh, lollipops. Let me give you a quick history of my experience with edibles over the years. I took them. Rogan got me started on them first. He gave me some lemonade once, some marijuana infused lemonade that was fucking tremendous, just tremendous. And looking back, it wasn't that strong, but he had it. He was one of the first guys to have his medical marijuana card that I know. Who did he say was the first guy he saw have it? Not Butch Bradley. Some old comic. But there's so many people around New York. It's so hard to do these intros with people walking up around me. Especially when I'm talking about drugs. I'll just keep walking. So anyway, he had this lemonade in his car once. He had this cool Acura NSX and silver. It was really cool. And then he in the back seat, in the trunk, he had this... he had all these lemonade things with marijuana. So I drank maybe half of it. And it was just this... Get out of here, squirrel. Why aren't you scared of me? And it was just this euphoric feeling that washes over your body. Not your mind, just your body. Where you just get... You can feel the tingling and like all over. This is great. And then I've done them a bunch of times. Then Rogan started having the breath strips, which are just THC infused. I don't know how they make those. But they are powerful as fuck. The right dosage on those, the proper dosage, used to be half of one breath strip. They'd have two to a pack, and half of one would be the right amount. I gave one to Carboni once, and he said, no, a third of one is the right amount. And he was a regular smoker. Loved the headband. He said a third was more like it. So whatever your dose was, I think since then they've gotten a little worse, the breath strips. Half of one doesn't do shit for me anymore. I take a whole one and that'll hit me or that won't hit me. Damn, they're just not as good. The problem is I feel like a lot of these companies make something really sweet, like the fucking Jolly Ranchers at first, were obliterating. The Jolly Ranchers were so goddamn good. And then, that's my phone, not yours. And then, people keep coming by. All right, so they left. So the breath strips were so fucking powerful, and I remember him giving me one in Vegas, a half of one, and I was so scared. I was sitting at his desk in his hotel room, and everyone else was around, and he gave them out to people, and I took half of one, put it in on my tongue. You just let it dissolve, and then it would wait like 45 minutes to an hour, and it just crushes you. So I waited, I put it on my tongue, and then I got scared, and I pulled half of it off my tongue, and I was so embarrassed that I wasn't able to take it all. Whoa. That squirrel just jumped so far. Wow. That was like 5 feet in the air off a fence onto a tree. God. Ballers. Baller squirrel. So I put half of it underneath this table. I wiped it underneath the desk that I was sitting at because I was too embarrassed that I wasn't going to take the whole thing. And it still got me hard. Later, I developed a little bit of a tolerance to all that. That half a bottle of lemonade wouldn't do anything to me anymore. The full bottle would probably get me nice and, like, cool. But one time, we were at a UFC. It was me, Joey Diaz, Brian Reichel, and Irwan, I think. Somebody from Eddie Bravo's class in jiu-jitsu. And so I had a pack of breath strips, and I was going to have one for everybody. One breath strip for everybody, four of us. I think I had four breath strips. And my tolerance has gone up, and the breath strips had got cut down in half by then. So I gave one to Red Band, I gave one to Joey Diaz, I gave one to myself, and then I gave one to Irwan. Irwan said, no, I'm just a boozer, which is fine. You know my stance on drugs. Whatever your thing is, fucking do your thing. So he snuck in a bottle of Jack Daniels into the UFC. And he snuck in a bottle of Jack Daniels and just got refills on Coca-Cola. I just got loopy on that, which is cool, too. I had some of it. But since he wasn't doing the other breast strip, I was like, oh, well, we'll put it away. We'll put that breast strip away. But Joey Diaz does not put drugs away. Joey Diaz does all the drugs in front of him until they're done being done. So he suggested this instead. And by suggested, I mean he told me. He goes, where are you going with that, cocksucker? I'm like, I'm putting it away. He doesn't want it. Well, fuck that. And so we split it up. And we each took a third of it. So we, instead of the normal dosage of half a breath strip, which would most of the time get you pretty loopy, even back then, we decided to go to a UFC, which is a six-hour affair, and do 1.333 breath strips with a line over the top. One and a third breath strips each. Not only was I high throughout the entire UFC that day, not only was I high for the rest of the night when we went out to party at whatever club we went to in Las Vegas or whatever we did, not only was I high when I went to sleep, not only was I high when I woke up the next day. Keep in mind, I took the breast strip at about, what time the UFC starts? 4? So I took them at like 3:30, 4, right around then. Not only was I high when I woke up the next day, not only was I high when I flew home and landed in Burbank Airport, I was high for 23 hours. I was high at 3 o'clock the next day I came down. That's how much longer these things last. So in terms of like pricing out for yourself, your drug use, how many beers can you drink to keep you high for 23 hours? How many beers can you drink to get you drunk? 3 for fucking $18 at a bar? The breast strip situation is $20. Is that much? No, $15 for a two-pack of breast strips. $15 for a two-pack, possibly 20. I forget exactly. The Jolly Ranchers were about the same. One Jolly Rancher is about the same as half a breast strip. And it was 5 each, 4 for 15. I was high for 23 hours on that motherfucker. So if you want something to get you there, when I went to Australia, edibles all the way. We took me and Rogan took, I don't know what stories I talked about on the podcast or not. Well, not me and Rogan. I took a bunch of pot cupcakes from Zen Dispensary on Santa Monica and La Cienega, one of the best dispensaries in Los Angeles. Always really smooth pot. And they have good edibles too. And they had the breast strips and they had the Jolly Ranchers. I took the Jolly Ranchers to South by Southwest 2 years ago. 3 years ago. And I took two of them. Justin Martindale took one and later thought he had to go to the hospital because he was so high. Alf and this guy, I don't want to say names, but this guy who runs the Viper Room. No. Not the Viper Room. So those guys split one. They both called it night's over within 2 hours. They're like, I'm done. They're going back early. Martindale thought he had to be talked down. I had to talk him down. I'm like, Justin, you're okay. It's just the pocky. These stupid fucking fat girls in Austin, they saw him standing there just being all goofed out. And he goes, they were like, you should check into the hospital. Like, what? I just want to sit down. He asked for a seat because he might have to sit down here. Like, you don't look good. You should check it. You should go to a hospital. So he's positive he had to go. So I kept it together, talked him down like a champion. Then, it was Nick Adler. That's who Alf and him, they each split it. I don't know who took the bigger of the two halves, but they each split it, called the nights over. Justin and I'd be talked down like a champion. I did that. Then I was with Allison Dynamite in Austin. And she goes, oh, that's so cool how you could keep your, we got back to her place. She goes, that was so cool how you could keep your shit together when everyone else was going bonkers. And you had two. And then I just let it go. I'm like, oh, I'm not keeping it together. And I just fell. I was just, all, my whole insides of me just plummeted. And I just started laughing. Oh, what a great night. We made pizza bagels. And I watched Short Circuit. I laughed so goddamn hard at the movie Short Circuit. Which, by the way, I don't know if you guys remember Short Circuit. It was they made it was one of the guys from Three Men and a Baby, I think. Maybe Police Academy. Maybe same guy. Made a robot and he became sentient. He became a Johnny Five. He became alive. And it was this guy, his love interest, and some Indian guy from India. And they were all in charge of, like, keeping Johnny Five out of, away from the government, shit like that. And is that a tick? Come on, New York. Fisher Stevens played the Indian guy. He was played by a white person. All his lines were going, I'm going to tell this to the people. He just did an Indian accent the whole time. The only joke there was that he had an Indian accent. And at the very end of the movie, they asked him where he's from, and he goes, I'm from Detroit. And they're like, no, originally. He goes, oh, yes, Detroit. It was just, that was it. They couldn't find an Indian guy to play such a racist character that they got Fisher Stevens, a white guy, to like, hey, you do it. These Indians are too proud. So anyway, great experiences on edibles. And one day I got this pot cookie at the place next to the Russians, and they told me, take half. And they were like, we're serious. And I was like, whatever. Take half is for pussies. I'm in this for the long haul. I took a whole one, and I said this on the podcast, but I sat in the back of the Comedy Store, open mic and friends and family section. It starts at 7, goes from 7 to about 8:30 is open mic, then employees from 8:30 to about 9:30, and then friends of the Comedy Store from 9:30 till about 11, and then paid regulars. I sat there from 7 p.m. till 2 a.m. through the open mic. I was dying laughing. Edibles, when they get you good, they get you so good. But there have been some examples of overdoses. Not death, don't get me wrong, but overdoses. And I will cover that in the outro because it's already 11 minutes. You guys, I want to say this. Oh, I do have an email from some guy that I want to get to. By the way, my storyteller show, it's the run is over. As of tomorrow, as of Tuesday the 27th, we have aired every single one of the This Is Not Happening storyteller shows on YouTube, made by Comedy Central Digital. Paid for by Comedy Central Digital, I should say. Made by me and my friend Eric Abrams and my friend Sam Safer. We all were doing this show for about 3 years, and we did them online, and we recorded them, and they came out great. The TJ Miller story is great. The one of mine is great. My second story, because I host and I do a story in between each show that we tape live, my second story is airing this Tuesday. And in celebration of that, I'm going to do a bunch of interviews. I'm doing a Splitsider interview. I'm taking over the Comedy Central Twitter account all day Tuesday. That's tomorrow. I'm doing an AMA. So are some other people that did the show. I think Diaz is going to be involved in it. If he knows how to type. I don't know if he does. Maybe some other comics. Sean Patton's story was great. The Walsh Brothers story is really cool. And John Huck's story was just tremendous about going to Oktoberfest. It was all stories of getting fucked up. And listen, Comedy Central loved it so much that we are going to do a second run of these. On October 1st, we're going to do another show. Well, two shows really, an 8 and a 10. And we're going to record another 10 plus mine. So 12, maybe 13 stories for This Is Not Happening. I believe as of now the topics are fight stories and travel / road stories. The lineup, the people we're going out to is going to be great. I know Joey Diaz is doing it so far. I'm trying to get a bunch of other people to do it. We're really, I'm happy with who we're going out to. So look for those. Those will start airing in November. And in celebration of all those stories finally be online, and I'll post on Twitter, I'll post a playlist so you can, you don't have to go to all of Comedy Central's videos. You can just look at the This Is Not Happening Storyteller Show videos. And I'll have all of them on there. Some, so-so. A lot of them are amazing. And they're a fun way to waste work. They're all about 10, maybe 8 to 12, 8 to 13 minutes long each. So, and in celebration of it, we are doing the first This Is Not Happening Storyteller Show in New York City. At the Village Underground, August 27th, Tuesday, at 8 p.m. Tickets are $5. You can get them online now. Chances are it'll be sold out by the time you get there. But I'm assuming there'll be some no-shows. So just show up anyway. Just show up and I'll get you in. Probably. Unless it's super sold out and everybody shows. But I there'll probably be 20 no-shows. Tickets are $5. People have more money than that. And it's all fight stories, and it's going to be all people that come from degenerate lifestyles. Degenerate areas like Boston, Philadelphia. Fucking, there needs to be a term. It's not white trash, because white trash covers it, but it doesn't cover the black people that are white trash, or the Italians that act so fucking horrible, or the Bostonians that love getting into fights. The people on Long Island, garbage people. That's what I want a term. I want a term to encompass garbage people, or areas that are filled with garbage people. People that value fighting over thinking. People that fucking dress horribly, wear free stuff you get at a bar as your fashion 2 weeks later. What are those people called? Just garbage people where you're like, I don't even want to make you laugh. Anyway, those areas, Philadelphia, Boston, all the comics are from places that are full of garbage people. Not Washington, D.C. That's not garbage people. That's it. Not Austin, Texas. Not Portland. Not Seattle. Those are not garbage people. Central Washington. That's garbage people. Central Washington State. Yeah, I want a term for that. But all the people doing the show are that. Here's the lineup. Let me just tell you quick. Bobby Kelly, who did my sixth highest rated podcast of all time, You Know What, Dad, about being a new father, which was only like 6 weeks ago. Bobby Kelly, Kurt Metzger, Big J. Okerson. Those two guys I both did the Nasty Show with, and we became really good friends. They're both amazing comics, and Big J is one of the best storytellers in the world. Colin Quinn and Keith Robinson. It's going to be a great show, and it's $5 with a couple drinks minimum, but you want to get stoned beforehand. I'm sorry, I don't know the good place to smoke pot right around there. There is a park around the corner. I would say go there. But come out and hear some great stories of some comics telling stories about getting into fights, or seeing fights even. Tuesday, August 27th, 8 p.m. It will not be recorded. It's live or nothing. Now, let me do this email I got, because I like these emails, and somebody asked me a question, and sometimes I don't respond, but for questions like this, I will respond. Hey, Ari, says, who is this guy? Michael Ishman. Hey, Ari, he wrote to contact@arishafir.com. My house recently received water damage, and we're staying at a hotel in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We have a few Jewish people in the area, but at the hotel, there are Jewish people who wear black suits and have the curls. So they seem kind of rude and not very friendly. Do they not like to associate with people outside the religion? And what are the belts they wear? I love the Skeptic and podcast, and I hear you talking about growing up, and I figured you could answer my questions. Hope to see you when you come to Philly sometime. You have made me a big comedy fan, and I bought your album, Revenge for the Holocaust, and many others just from the guests on the podcast. Thanks. Matt Ishman, sent from his iPad. The last part's not important. Well, Matt, thank you for buying my album, Revenge for the Holocaust. Don't forget to get the special, Passive Aggressive. That's all different material, and that's one of the best things I've ever made in my life. I'm hoping that does not become my never mind, but as of right now, Passive Aggressive, available right now at chill.com for just $5, is my never mind. I'm really happy with it. Michelle Caputo did a great job. Okay, let me answer your questions, Matt. First question, they seem kind of rude and not very friendly. Yep, they're self-absorbed. That wasn't a question. Do they not associate with people outside the religion? Yes. The answer is no. They don't associate with people outside the religion. They think they're better than you. That is the honest question. They think the Hasidic Jews, they think they're better than you. And if that's not completely true for all of them, they think there's no reason to associate with someone like you, because you're a goy. You're a goy, Matt Ishman. A goy. It's the only derogatory term I've ever heard for everyone except 0.1% of the people in the world. It covers 99.9% of the people, and it's derogatory. You're a goy. And what are the belts they wear? Well, these are the belts. It's something they wear during prayer. It's called a girdle. I wore one when I was in Israel. It separates the lower half of your body from the upper half of your body. The lower half is for bad things like peeing and shitting and sex. And occasionally when you're not doing what you should do, masturbation, the evil masturbation, which is referred to in the Talmud as, there's a passage where it says there's a dragon that came and disturbed the people, disturbed the students in a yeshiva in their dorm room every night. A dragon came in, a serpent, and killed them. And what that meant was the temptation of jerking off got to them, and they all jerked off. So the rabbi of those students had to hide under the beds to kill the serpent, which really means he just popped out of his bed and go, "I see what you're doing." That would really make you weird. If you were a 17-year-old jerking off, "Oh, look at that cute puppy." And then the rabbi popped out of your bed going, "Don't do that anymore." Oh. So anyway, this girdle separates the lower half of your body from the upper half, the thinking half, where you take food in and where you do all your thinking, where you study Torah out of. That implies that God made a shitty part of your body that you can't associate with. I don't agree with that at all. Oh, puppy bulldog. So anyway, I hope that answers your question. A girdle separates the lower half from the upper half. And if you want to know about the curls, it is because Jews are not allowed to shave the five corners of their beards with a razor blade, which is the two corners of right where your bone is on your where your sideburns go, the jawline corners, and the middle of your chin. Those are the five corners you can't shave with the razor blade. So you can do it with scissors, but they got the tradition already of letting them go. So they got those, the curls. They don't curl them. They just curl on their own. And you can whip them around your, 20-minute-long introduction. You can whip them around your ear, and they stay out of the way. And then when you're thinking, when you're studying, you pull them off your ear, you unroll them, and you stick them in their mouth so you can think. Let me do some dates real quick, everybody. Not only is my This Is Not Happening Storyteller show happening this Tuesday, I am also doing fan fiction on September 7th at Union Hall in Brooklyn, a very fun show where comics do fan fiction. If you don't know what it is, fucking you should look up fan fiction. It's all erotic, and they talk about shitting and stabbing your mother and fucking her. It's just great. Anyway, my road dates, here they are. Wisconsin, doing two dates. Madison, the 12th, 13th, and 14th at Comedy on State, and then Skyline Theater on September 11th. Anniversary of when the Jews planned and carried out the most successful terrorist attack on U.S. soil in U.S. history. I shouldn't have said that. That was private stuff for the Jew newsletters. September 11th, I'll be at Appleton, Wisconsin. One show only. I've heard it's a great club. We were not able to make it work for a long weekend, and I was like, fuck it. Let's just get in there. I want to see what this club is like in Appleton. Skyline Theater. I heard it's one of the best clubs in the country. Here's what I like as a comic. I want to play cool rooms, you guys. And when I hear about one like that, like Skyline or Dr. Grin's in Grand Rapids, I've heard is good, or that place in Minneapolis. What's that place called? Whatever it is. There's just a few cool places that I haven't played, and I want to play them all. So Skyline Theater, one day, September 11th. Come. $15 tickets. Yuck Yucks in Calgary, 19th, 20th, and 21st. Don't forget that. Oh, and September 15th. Is the 10-year anniversary of when I was passed as a paid regular at the Comedy Store on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles, California. 10-year anniversary of getting passed by Mitzi. That was the drive of my comedy for years until I finally got it on September 15th. So, if you want to go into the Comedy Store, I'll call ahead for you and say, hey, I'm here for the 10-year anniversary of Ari Shaffir getting passed as a paid regular. And they will comp you in. You can see that. I would say, why don't you do that? Why don't you take a heavy edible? Why don't you go to the Russians at the, I think it's called Herbal Corner or something like that, and pick up an Auntie Dolores peanut butter brownie and eat the whole goddamn thing right before you go in. Maybe it's 6:30. And then you go in and you say, I am here because Ari Shaffir told me you would let me in for free for the 10-year anniversary of him getting passed as a paid regular. Also getting passed that day, Kirk Fox and Rick Ingram. I'll tell both of them to go down too. So go, sit there, and laugh. And if they come to you, if the waitresses come to you and say, we want to, you have to drink something, hey, you can drink some liquor if you want, or just get some water or Coca-Colas. They'll charge you too much, sure, but you'll have a great time. Why don't you do this? If you want to have a really good time, when the waitress comes around, just give her a $10 bill and say, listen, I'm on a pot cookie, so I'm not going to need that much. But keep coming around with either glasses of water or bottles of water, and I'll pay you at the end of the night. But I'm going to be pretty loopy. So sit there and have a great time at a comedy show, and sit there from 7 to 2 a.m. And you can stay from 7 to when the open micers come in, and you can see how shitty they are. And it'll kick in. It'll get funny once that kicks in. And you can stay all the way through the paid regulars, watching people work out. Hopefully people like Sebastian come in and great comics. Louis C.K. stopped in there a couple weeks ago. And stay all the way to the end when Don Barris comes downstairs and does his Barris Kennedy Overdrive, his lip sync band. And if you do that, well, you'll get in free. I'm trying to think if I should get them to give you a free t-shirt or something. They used to have these buttons that Barris would pass out at the end of the night. Because if you stay till 2, you get this button that says, I stay till 2 at the Comedy Store. If they still have those, they'll give them for you. You know what? I'm going to call Tommy. I'm going to call the guy that works at the booth and I'll say, hey, we want to get some of those stickers. So September 15th, I'm not even going to be there, by the way. But it's like a fun night, so fucking recreate that night for me. Then I'll be in Cabo, the 2nd of October through the 5th for the 6th through this Cabo Comedy Festival, doing like one show on Friday. Details will come soon. But October 1st, we are recording at Cheetah's in Hollywood. Details coming soon. Another This Is Not Happening storyteller show, which will start airing on the web, the No Regulations web, in November at some point. So come on out for that. And I'm trying to figure out what is going on with Australia. I'm not doing the Just for Last Festival. Just found out. Trying to get it done. I want to go to Sydney and Melbourne and Perth all through October. And then whatever. But before I do that, Cobbs with Joey Diaz. October 10th, 11th, and 12th. Tickets available now. All right, you guys. Let's start the episode. So, this is All About Edibles. I got the title from someone on Twitter when I couldn't think of one. This is with Auntie Dolores. I'm not going to say her real name because I don't think she wants me to. But, ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 129. Is that it? Is it 129? I think it is, right? Episode 129. A brownie and day. Wait. Okay. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 129. A brownie a day keeps the. Wait. What was I talking about? With Auntie Dolores. Enjoy. Oh, and on the way out, I'll tell a story of overdose. Okay, bye. Now it is, yeah.
Testing. Hi.
Yeah, you tested it. Perfect. That's exactly what you have to do. Just slightly talk into it. Yes, what is this thing? I'm here with Auntie Dolores. I'll do introductions later, but you've showed me this thing of
it's a cannabinoid chart. So it basically, the list on the left tells you all the different conditions or ailments.
Anorectic, antibacterial.
Yep. Antidepressant.
Oh, that's a good one.
Anti-epileptic. I mean, the list goes on and on.
And the different types of what?
Different cannabinoids and different terpenes that address those conditions. So, I mean, as everybody knows, THC is an analgesic. So is CBD. If you look at all the different colors on here,
what's an analgesic? They correspond. Nobody knows
pain
that.
Pain reliever.
A what?
Pain reliever.
Oh, okay.
And pain reliever.
Yeah.
And then
so all of them help for that.
Exactly. All those cannabinoids. So that means CBC, CBD, CBGA, THC, the whole list right there. THCVA. I don't have my glasses on now.
C4,
I should have brought them.
THCVA, CBLA,
CBNA. And then there's
CBNA.
The terpenes, which is really cool.
What are these? What are cannabinoids? What are terpenes? Like, what are they?
Cannabinoids are the compounds in cannabis that actually have different medicinal properties.
And they're different ones in every strain?
Yes. Most strains have THC, obviously. All strains have THC. And back before, there was a lot of manipulation of the plant, there also is a good balance of CBD and a lot of the other cannabinoids, and a lot of that stuff has been bred out, obviously, because they want to make the THC levels higher.
Super hot. Oh, so, percentage-wise.
We've sacrificed some other good cannabinoids in the process.
Oh, to get stuff that rips you harder, then you get you get rid of like the pain reliever shit?
No, it's not that you get rid of it. It's just that it's the ratios are just so kind of distorted. But that's just, it's just the nature of things because patients' tolerance levels change so much over a short amount of time. So
I heard Israel is trying to research something that takes the THC out completely and then only gives you the other stuff. So it doesn't give you high at all. It just gives you the medicinal parts.
Yeah, they're working on CBD rich. Pretty much all the...
That's trouble.
Well, it's not that it's trouble. Well, yeah, I mean,
for the people who just like
it's
high.
It's a slippery slope, for sure. But the thing about CBD, it is really important, and it is medicinal 100% for so many different things. If you look on this, CBD is the pink one.
Yeah.
So on almost every single ailment is addressed with CBD.
Yeah.
So that's where there's just no disputing that this is medicine. And any science, any research around this stuff is going to focus on CBD as it is like the most medicinal cannabinoid.
As this becomes like sort of legal in certain states, are people researching it more because there's less fear of like having it in your lab?
I don't know if there's less fear because you could still be prosecuted federally, like if you have CBD or THC. The government is not discerning between, you know, what they haven't even acknowledged that this is medicine, so they're not going to give you a free ride because you're growing CBD or you're testing it or what have you. Unfortunately, like we work with sick people all day long. I mean, there's so many sick people that use our products, but unfortunately, it's still, you know, it's. The feds don't agree with this. It's still a Schedule I narcotic, and as long as it's
so that means it's punched the same as heroin.
Yeah, it's supposedly it's more serious than cocaine. I mean,
you've never hung out with somebody on cocaine and weed. Cocaine is way more serious.
Yeah, it's scheduled that way for a reason. I mean,
why just to fuck with it? Just be like, we're not even. Why don't they change it?
There's a lot of advantages to the enemies of cannabis to keep it scheduled as a narcotic, a Schedule I narcotic, and so that's...
It's just so weird. When I meet somebody who still thinks of, like, weed as drugs, I'm like, what? No, what are you, an idiot?
Where are you?
Yeah, it's not the same as that.
That's, like, so prehistoric.
Yeah. Why is our government doing... Hey, what's limonene?
Limonene...
That's the antidepressant one. That's
yes.
That's all that helps antidepressant.
Yeah, it's the terpene that is present in some strains, and it's also in lemon.
How do you know what it's in? Oh, it's in lemon?
Yeah.
Lemons help with depression?
Apparently. The terpene limonene does. Okay, here's another weird little fact that I just learned recently about myrcene. Myrcene is in mango, and apparently, according to the scientists at Halent Labs, myrcene is what gives indica strains... that indica feel.
That sleepiness?
The more myrcene that's in a strain, the more indica it will be. So you could actually like eat a mango and half an hour later you could smoke a really strong sativa and it's going to feel like an indica.
Because the indica is going to set off?
Because of the myrcene that's in the mango and how it affects.
And when you smoke anything, then it just sets off that myrcene?
Yeah, and it just gives that indica feel, which is
what if you eat like four mangoes? What happens to you then?
You're going to fall asleep.
Does that happen?
I don't know. Oh. I never tried it.
Yeah. I've never tried to eat four mangoes either. If I have a piece of mango, that's a lot.
I'm open to any experiments, including mango and weed, so, you know.
Exactly. I first started hearing about you. They had your stuff at the Russians down next to Ralph's. That's what Diaz calls them. He always has names for people.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many Russian dispensary owners. Which ones are you talking about?
There's a new Russians that he calls the ones up where he gets the cartridges near him in North Hollywood.
Well,
but this Russians
with,
is the next to Ralph's.
Divine
Healing, maybe
Divine
that's
wellness.
It.
No, they're not Russian, though.
This also could be one employee was ever Russian, he calls them the Russians. It doesn't mean, it's not necessarily like linked to what's going on there.
Got it. You know, we deal with a lot of great clubs here in town, but so what products have you tried?
I tried the peanut butter brownie, and those are sativas, right? I like 50-50. That it showed the difference in them, too. On the packaging, it shows you the difference.
Yeah, it's 50-50.
Yeah.
50 sativa, 50 indica.
It was at the point where I wasn't even concerned. I was a little concerned with, like, the weed I smoked, sativa, indica, but not the edibles. I'm just like, give me an edible. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I told you yesterday I had one of these and then watched the entire open mic and regular show at the Comedy Store from 7 to, like, almost 2. I just didn't move from Mitzi's chair. I just laughed so hard. Somebody came by. Kirk Fox came by. And he was like, that joke reminded me of someone something. And I was like, which one? He goes, the guy that just said that. He just got his off stage right now. His last joke. And I was like, I don't remember it. And he goes, you're laughing. I'm like, I remember laughing. I definitely remember that. But I don't know what joke he made. It was so good.
That's great.
They told me, take half. She goes, I'm not fucking around. And then she turned to the other Russian. And the Russian that takes the IDs was going like, I take a whole one. So I was like, all right, I'll take a whole one. Man, she was right. But then I took it again on a plane, and I OD'd. I had one of those. I don't know if you've ever gotten that, where you get the spins.
Oh, man. I got a bad story about that.
Let's hear it. I didn't know they existed.
I actually can't believe you're bringing this up. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
So I made the colossal mistake of taking an edible before a flight. I was coming back from New York.
What? They're great for flights.
No. This is what I did wrong. Okay? Listen up, people. Right. Don't make this mistake.
Learn from mistakes.
I went to the bar to get a drink because my flight was a little late. I'd already taken the edible, right? So I get on the plane, finally. I'm a little buzzed from my cocktail, and then the edible kicks in, and then the plane takes off, and I get super woozy and feel super nauseous. So
mixture.
I get up. Yeah, yeah, the mixture, and the air pressure, all that just fucked me up. So I get up. I start to walk to the
Getting
back.
Up's a problem, too,
Dude,
because you gotta stand.
I got up, and I felt my ass down. My head hit the middle of the aisle. And
what do you mean? What do you mean?
I fell down. It hit one of the head. Hit the my head hit
the handrest or just the floor?
No, like the floor. Like I literally passed out in the aisle backwards. And then all of a sudden I'm blacked out, but I can hear people and I hear, is there a doctor on board? You know, and I'm like, oh my God. And they came over and they helped me and I started to come to like after about 5 or 6 minutes. Like, I was completely knocked out.
Out.
It was fucked up. And then the doctor that came over, there was a doctor on board, comes over, brings me to the back. They thought I was, like, on heroin or something. He was checking my arms. Like,
oh, because you have all those tattoos. I could see that. They're like, well, this is the trouble.
She's no good. Let's see what's up with this weirdo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was really crazy. I will never, ever... I actually don't like to smoke weed and then... I like to smoke and then drink. That's
and then
okay.
Drink, yeah.
But drinking and then smoking... Or having an edible kick in after you've had a drink.
Yeah.
It's like, no, bueno.
They did these tests on driving, I remember, and it was what affects your condition the most. It was smoking, lack of sleep, and boozing.
Yeah.
And they said that smoking has like a negligible effect on you. Slight, but very negligible. Mm-hmm. Alcohol has a clear effect. Being sleep deprived is the worst. But the real worst is alcohol and weed. Like doubles each of their potencies.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
And they said that's like impossible to drive on that.
Yeah, I've gotten really sick with the right combination.
I had a girlfriend who passed out on it at the at Zombieland.
Oh, no.
And I made fun of her for so long. For so long, I just mocked her. And then it happened to me. I passed out on it.
That's what you get.
Yeah, that's what I get. It's so awful. You start getting this feeling, you're like, oh, okay. Well, gone.
I know. It's powerful shit.
How embarrassed were you when you got up and they were like talking to you? Did you want to tell them? Like, it's just, I took a pot cookie.
No. I just, honestly, when I sat back down, they wanted me to, like, go see a doctor, like, after the plane landed and stuff. But then after, because that was at the beginning of the flight, we had another 4 hours.
By then you're fine, yeah.
I was fine by the end of the flight, and so they didn't make me go see, but I was like, oh, God, now they're going to make me go see a doctor. They're going to see my bloodshot eyes, and they're going to be like, what?
Oh, yeah. This guy, Dom Barris, is comic. He ate a half a bag of popcorn. I don't think yours, but he ate half a bag of popcorn, then ate the rest of it, then went to sleep and woke up and forgot he had eaten any of it and just thought he was having a panic attack because he couldn't operate well and checked himself into the hospital.
Oh.
Yeah. He got an ambulance, went down there, and the doctor like tested him and then came back in like an hour later and goes, do you ever smoke pot, Mr. Barris? And he's like, well, I don't know. Yeah, sometimes. He goes, you got a lot of... You're high, dude. You're just high. That's all that's wrong with you.
He, like, totally forgot that he ate it.
Uh-huh. When did you get into cooking and stuff?
I've been cooking with cannabis for a really long time, like probably over 15 years.
They're good brownies, too.
Oh, thank you.
And the pretzels, Tia's given me those.
The pretzels are awesome. They're our number one seller.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're vegan or made with coconut oil. They're really strong.
They're really strong.
Yeah. All our stuff's really strong, but there's a pretty wide range. We just came out with this 500 milligram brownie.
Let me see that.
It's Diaz fudge cake. Me about. It's insane.
How much are in these?
About 60.
60?
Yeah.
And those will wreck you a little bit. Not you.
They don't wreck me.
How many
I took
you
one
eat?
This morning before Pilates class, and I was good.
How long did you have?
This one would wreck me. I would never try to eat 500
that
milligrams at once.
That is 8 times, 9 times as much as one of these?
Yeah.
Wow. How much do you eat of the 500 bite?
I could eat a quarter and I'll be good. That's 125 milligrams. That's when I'm really high. That's
your tolerance supposed to be unbelievable.
No, it's not. Compared to like Joey and other
really
super stoners like him, I feel like my tolerance is low. But
when people give Joey a cookie, he just eats it. He doesn't like ask like how much I take.
He doesn't need to ask.
Like, yeah, sure, whatever. Well, Ryan,
I think he ate a third of one of these before his San Jose show.
Shit,
I was
really?
There. I couldn't remember if he had a third or a quarter, but he got wrecked before he even went on. It was really funny.
You should sponsor our have set up a tent outside
totally.
Our San Francisco shows.
Yeah, I totally will. If I don't get in trouble or get arrested, I'd be down.
I wonder how we can do that. Right outside afterwards and before? In the building? Probably can't do it in the building. I don't know.
Well,
that'd be
other
funny
ways,
shit, though.
There's other ways to sponsor you guys, too, you know? So...
Oh, yeah.
Think about it.
All right. You're in the Bay Area a lot?
Yeah, we're based in Oakland.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Told me that.
Oakland. I come down here once a month, but we've got clubs
all
over.
These are the ones you sold to the people over there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. They come in the purple bag.
Yeah.
You know?
That's only 60? I've never known dosage, really.
You have a low tolerance, I think, from what you're telling me.
Maybe.
You said you ate half, or you ate the whole
thing? No, I ate the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
But I eat those breast chips now, and I'm just like, nothing.
So, do you know what one dose is 12 to 15 milligrams? So,
one dose is 12 to 15 milligrams?
Yes,
oh, really?
That's what the labs go by.
And this
that's
is 60,
what pharmaceuticals
so it's like,
go by.
Oh, that's a serving size.
One, well, serving size is more nutrition fact-based. But
yeah, but let's do a serving size for dosage.
I know, it's so silly. Because it kind of conflicts on our packaging. For instance, the serving size of the peanuts is a quarter cup, and there's one serving, right? But actually, this is like 8 doses in here.
Oh, right.
So, but dose is much more subjective than the serving size. So,
yeah,
like, it...
If you had, like, a dose so everyone knew what the terms were...
I know. Well, if everybody would stick to the same
thing,
it'd be no problem. But what people do is they change it up to fit whatever they think patients are where they're at. But the... I don't know. I like to look at it like this. You might need 4 doses. You might need 10 doses. So just do the math. It's 12 to 15 milligrams per dose. Me personally, I need about 80 to 100 milligrams. If
Where do you see the milligrams on here? Does it say?
It's under the THC. THC 82.
Oh, yeah.
The first one.
Okay. So of the whole bag, it's 82?
Yeah.
Yeah.
34, 67, which is like a little bit more than one of those.
Mm-hmm. You eat the whole bag of these?
Yeah. Easy.
Nice.
Easy.
Do you even catch a buzz off that? Maybe
I don't have a
tolerance.
That's about right. No, I guess I'm about 100 milligrams, but if I eat a whole bag of caramel corn or a whole bag of pretzels, I'll be just right, because those are like 125, roughly.
Okay.
Which is about, 9 or 10 doses.
I need one of these brownies right now and see what it does for my next podcast. It takes still an hour to kick in. I was in La Jolla once, and they have this. By the way, your stuff is delicious, too.
Oh, good. Thank you.
So how do you make it good?
Okay.
Because a lot of times it's just weedy tasting.
I know.
What do you do?
We go to great lengths to achieve that.
What's Dolores' secret?
How can I tell you this without giving away our special secrets?
Yeah.
Basically, we use special equipment, and we use a process that eliminates all the nasty tasting properties. So we figured out how to get the nasty taste out without removing the medicine.
Wow.
And making sure that we extract as much medicine as we possibly can. And that all requires
it doesn't
special...
smell either.
Yeah, it doesn't smell like it either. Yeah.
I brought
it's very
8
discreet.
8 cupcakes on a flight to with Rogan to Australia.
Uh-huh.
It was like a 13-hour flight. And I had my acting teacher's wife right on... I took them all out of the package, put them in a Tupperware container, and right on the package, enjoy, sweetheart, we miss you. Things like that. just to make it seem like it was whatever. And then I opened them up on the plane, and just this reek of weed came out.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, fuck. He's like, put that away. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I still ate like three, but then I had to dump the rest. I was so worried.
Oh, my God.
So, okay. So, what do you... So, then... Keep going. Sorry.
That's okay. We should have had you eat that before we started talking, because now I want to see you all, like, jacked up and stuff.
I'm going for a while. But delicious. Delicious. This is one time my listeners always get mad at me for eating on mic, but I don't care.
What do you have to do today that's so important?
I have a dinner at 8, which will be fine for this.
Yeah, you got, like, 5 hours.
Mm-hmm. So use the process to get the weed out. That's cool.
We just basically take out all the nasty, the chlorophyll is what tastes nasty, you know, all those other, like, the plant material and stuff. The cannabinoids taste gross too, I guess, but I think there's ways to make it, to refine the process so that it tastes, the end product tastes really good. That's what we try to do, you know, because I don't know too many people that like the taste of cannabis, but some people do. It's a very small percentage of people. Yeah. Most people think it's disgusting. And, you know, if you want them to buy your product, you got to figure out how to make it taste good.
What do you think mushrooms taste like? How bad do you think they taste?
Mushrooms taste so bad, but it's
really
so worth it.
I don't even think they taste that bad.
It's like, get over it. Throw some chase it with some chocolate, you know.
To me, they just taste like bland.
Yeah, they're
kind of... like, it doesn't make me cringe.
They just, like, kind of taste like mold or something, you know? To me, they do, but I always mix them with stuff. I never try to eat them alone. That's gross.
I guess I'm in the minority of mushrooms.
You do mushrooms in New York? That's, like, the best place to shroom.
Yeah.
I shroomed in Central Park a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
During the day, just, like, looked at people?
Oh, yeah.
Here's the best thing about
it, I figured. Until it got too crowded.
Oh, yeah. The crowds.
Then we would run.
That's what makes it hard, the people around you.
You can't, like, oh, God, New York. You can't escape it.
Well, my thought was, though, that if you get completely zonked out on fucking mushrooms, then you're just going to fit in with the rest of the weirdos there. Like, if you're in front of a door just staring at it, like, 10 feet away, people are just going to walk by you and go into the store. They're not going to, like, try to talk to you or help you.
No.
Or say you're ruining anything. They're just like, you're another crazy person, and they'll just ignore you.
Oh,
I want to do a walk around the city.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking forward to before the summer's over.
There was a comedian the other night. I can't remember his name. Not at that show last night, but up at the Ice House. And he did a joke about somebody jumping out of a cab when they were, like, on acid. And that actually did... Or jumping out of a moving car. And that did actually happen to my friend.
On acid? Jumped out of a moving car?
On mushrooms. We were shrooming in the park, and it got too crowded. So we went and jumped in a cab. And, like, he was tripping balls. And we were on the West Side Highway approaching the exit. And then we were going, like, 50. And he was like, I got to go pee really bad. And he just opened the door and fucking rolled out and, like, just got up and peed and then, like, got back in the cab. Like, it was no big deal. It was so funny.
Wow.
And then that comedian told that joke the other night. And I was like, I can't believe that's actually, like, happened to my friend. But yeah, it was. And then after that, he just had, like, the worst trip ever. It was so horrible. He, like, went back to our apartment. We had a hammock hanging in our living room, and he curled himself up in the hammock like a little fucking cocoon and just started, like, rocking like a baby. It was so sad. I felt really bad for him. But yeah, those were some good times.
I love that. My friend, we just did him in a Sequoia, and my friend, at 5 a.m., we did him at, like, 10 p.m., at 5 a.m., he started to freak out. He's like, oh, this is not good. I'm like, now? We're all going to bed, man.
Oh, no.
It was very annoying for an hour, but it was fine.
He's got a slow metabolism or something.
Well, he took more. That's what we found out. He took more about an hour and a half before that.
Oh, man.
Okay, so, but normally, when you started getting into it, you didn't have that process to remove them, right? You just
boiled down
butter?
I figured it out kind of as I went along and experimented more. But it once I started just making the products and giving them to clubs to try, the feedback was really good. So I was like, okay, I must be doing something right. Let me just, like, make it even better, you know? And, it just kind of took off really quick. We also got into the industry at the right time, too. I mean, we've been around for 4 years now. And
That's just, right when it was kind of... exploding,
kind
right?
Kind of exploded right around then, you know?
That's
especially with
podcast.
Edibles, for sure, with edibles. And so now I think it's, for folks trying to get into it now, I think it's a little harder.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder, probably, but because
I've asked dispensaries before if they have any Dolores stuff, just because I know what one of these peanut butter things will do and what the popcorn and yeah. I just know what they'll do.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being so supportive.
Thank you for having me having a great night in San Diego one night with a girlfriend. And she took two kernels and I took like five and it was just perfect for both of us.
God, you have a really low tolerance then. If five kernels is enough for you, that's
maybe
crazy.
I do. I can't imagine that I have a low tolerance. Maybe I do.
You could have a high tolerance for smoking and a low tolerance for edibles.
No, but I feel like I have a high tolerance for edibles. Like, I'm constantly taking edibles and going, nah, nothing.
Well, maybe, because I noticed
maybe I took more than five kernels. I don't know. Maybe it's like half the bag.
If I do it on an empty stomach, like in the morning, before I have anything to eat, oh, man, the effects are way stronger. Did you do that? Or were you
maybe.
Like, were
I mean,
you
it was
really
before we went
on
to dinner.
An empty stomach? I mean, it's always going to have a stronger effect.
I find sometimes when I eat something after I take it, then it sets it off.
Yeah.
Like 2 hours, 3 hours later, even, like, I'll have a slice of pizza, and they're like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I noticed that, too.
Tia says it's because of the fat or the oil.
I think so. Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know. You
it
do get that, too?
Well,
you
it
do
doesn't
get
happen
that?
To me anymore, because my tolerance is, like, so... It's higher now, but it used to. I remember that, because I'd be, like, kind of not that high anymore. But then I would go and eat something, and it would all of a sudden, like, I'd feel high again. And I was like, what is that? It's part of your digestion is, like, igniting the cannabinoids again
what
or something.
What is it?
I don't,
somebody
I don't
said it binds
it
to fat.
The,
and
yeah,
so then when you burn fat
like
or take fat
going
in.
Like that on in your digestion, you know? But the whole blood-brain barrier and passing through that and the effects and all the physiology behind it is just, like, it's pretty fascinating.
Do you understand that stuff?
I mean, I understand it, like, in a kind of esoteric way. I'm certainly no scientist, you know.
Yeah.
I know a thing or two, but that's you know.
When I'm on stage, I get higher. Like, if I'm not high, if I haven't gotten smoked hot pot in, like, 5 hours, and then I go, like, I get stoned while I'm on.
Really?
I think
well, it's
so from burning the fat
to
thing.
Be on stage and, like, it's got to be
it's not just
a,
that.
No.
Because before I was smoking, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah. So
my thought was that I burn fat, like, while I'm running around and talking
maybe.
Loudly and... I don't know.
It's interesting.
So you started cooking this shit. What were you doing before then?
Before then, I was a business bookkeeper for years. And then that was one... I've always had multiple careers, and so I did that alongside... I was a professional dancer for many years. That's how I ended up in New York. And then after that, I started teaching yoga and Pilates and all of that. So I did that for many years. And while I was doing that, I was doing the bookkeeping because that was paying the bills, you know? And then I kind of learned a lot about business and all that. And that really helps now, you know?
And so then you started doing it, just got stickers and packaging made?
Yeah, we started off with...
It's so professional.
It's completely different. It's morphed many times. Our packaging has changed a lot. I don't, you know...
I don't remember having calories before. Is that new?
Oh, yeah,
always?
No, we've always had nutrition facts on there. I mean, not always, but up, you know, for the last 3 years at least.
Ingredients. Cannabis, white sugar, flour, butter, cocoa, eggs, milk, vanilla, soy.
Cannabis being the
that's
first
awesome.
Ingredient.
Yeah, that's the most important. And
just want to make sure people know what
purpose?
They're doing.
Do that on purpose? To be like, this is what we got
kinda.
The most of or the most important?
I mean, you're supposed to put the most, you know.
Yeah, up front.
And in a way, it is, if you think about it. Because you certainly wouldn't just like, I don't know. I mean, there's so much medicine in this thing. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. How do you make sure each one is sort of an even amount? Do you mix
well,
it real well, the batter? Or what
oh,
do you
sorry.
Do? It's okay.
We get everything tested. All of our extracts are tested, so we know how much to use in each batch. And every batch is exactly the same
as
far as like how many units it yields. And so we know after we develop a product, we get it tested, then we can pretty much lock in that recipe and make it the same every time.
Okay.
And
I remember in the early days of edibles, though, it was. Rogan used to always say this. It was like they put a bunch of weed in there, they mix it once, and they say cook it all. And then, like, you might get one that's super strong, you might get one that's super weak.
Yeah, that's not a very smart way of doing it because you're not extracting the cannabinoids like that, and you're probably not decarboxylating it very well either. It has to go through a process. You know, the THCA has to turn into THC.
Which means you have to burn it or something.
It has to be heated in order for... that's decarboxylation. That has to have... There has to be heat involved for that to happen. So, just cooking, like, leaf... Well, plus it doesn't... when you eat,
with
like,
the heat
the
from
leaf,
cooking could set it off or no?
When you eat just, like, cannabis, right? It doesn't actually...
Do anything.
Your body doesn't... It doesn't take in the cannabinoids in the same way, because it has to go through your blood-brain barrier, and it doesn't do that in that way.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't passed through your digestion, and it's like it's what the plant matter is. It's you can't digest it. You can't get high off it.
Jesus.
So you have to extract the medicine from the plant first.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Then cook with it. So
maybe we should tell people how to make cookies.
I guess all you gotta do is look YouTube, online. Right? Yeah, you can get there's plenty of information online.
At the base of it, though, it's just like simmering butter, like wheat and butter.
There's
and
a bunch of different ways of doing it, you know. Yeah. But
the extracts are what gets me the most. I don't even understand how to make that. Those breath strips, there's no space to it.
The breath strips?
Yeah, the THC breath strips.
I think they use
or Jolly Ranchers or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's usually a glycerin extract, you know, because you can't. It's hard to make candies from a fat, right? But because right. cannabis is, or the cannabinoids are fat soluble, so with glycerin, they pull, you know, on the cannabinoids. It does a good job, but it doesn't do as good of a job as an oil or a fat, like especially a high fat oil, like coconut oil is really good.
Those breath strips used to kill me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're too strong?
They used to be, yeah.
Okay.
They feel like they went down. Now I used to be supposed to be half of one. Now it's like take a whole one. I'm like, meh.
Is it the canna strips? Is that what you eat?
Stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. I feel like they introduce new products onto the market, have them really strong, get everyone to start talking about them, and then just take down the dosage a bunch.
That's no way to run a business.
No.
But I guess folks do it.
Sue you. Do you get worried at all when you hear those things? When you hear sirens?
Our kitchen's in East Oakland. I'm used to that shit. I mean, there's always some weird shit jumping off where our kitchen is.
How much do you worry about it?
How blue is the sky today?
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, it's not a worry-free profession. Let's just put it like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Does anybody That's ever why rated I stay stoned.
It's the only way you can relax.
A little bit,
you
yeah.
never would. How do you, I mean, did they have it rated you or anything?
Nothing's happened with us. We haven't had any issues.
That's
you know,
cool.
It's been really awesome.
But they rate
We're following all the rules, you know. We're a legal co-op, a non-profit cooperative.
I hear the dispensary owners talking about, like, letting a few rules just go. Like, you're not supposed to grow on site. Like, yeah, but we do. It's like, why would you take a chance?
Yeah,
just
you know
go by
what?
The rules they offer.
I know. Well, the problem is, though, and I get what you're saying. I totally agree with that. Like, we should, if there are some rules in place, we should at least follow the few that there are. The problem is, it's impossible to follow all the rules because these rules all conflict with one another.
Like what?
Well, just take the basic, we got the federal issue of it being a Schedule I narcotic and, you know, essentially, we could be arrested for what we do, right? And then on the state level, the state's cool with us, right? It's legal on the state level, you know? But then you've got different counties and cities that have their own idea.
Just
about,
like alcohol, where you can't
you know,
have 2% like alcohol in Missouri.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Riverside doesn't want cannabis. Orange County doesn't want cannabis. You know,
San Diego got rid of it for a while.
San Diego's always up and down, you know? And so there's a lot of conflicting laws because of those things, right?
Yeah.
And then, I think since California is, you know, one of the first medical states, obviously, so those first few states are the kind of messiest right now, you know? And then you look at these other states that have adopted medical cannabis laws, and the newer states have done a really good job. They've done a lot of research to figure out which states did it right and what they've done right and what they haven't done right, and nobody wants to duplicate what's going on in California.
Why not? Because it's just everywhere. Because they pretty much legalized it here.
Well, it's not that they legalized. It's just that there's, like in L.A., there's no moratorium on how many clubs can exist here. So there's like over 1,000 or whatever it is, and that's out of control. I mean, there shouldn't be that many, but there should also be enough.
Wouldn't you just let the market figure out what should be sustained and what wouldn't be sustained?
I think what happened, I mean, to be
like Starbucks
specific about
yeah.
L.A., I just think that it got out of control here before there were some real
guidelines.
Regulations in place, right? Now, in San Francisco, it's the opposite. That's very regulated in San Francisco, the medical cannabis industry. And, you know, there's only going to be a certain amount of clubs existing there forever.
How many do they have?
I think it's like 14 or whatever.
14?
Yeah, in the whole city. Now, San Francisco's teeny compared to L.A. But It's a manageable amount. I wouldn't mind a few more, to
and
be honest.
More in Oakland,
it could
too,
be, or? It'd be, I think San Francisco should have 30 or 40, you know?
Yeah. It's a walking city, but, too, so it's like you can't drive to the other place.
Yeah, exactly. And people should have access. At the same time, when it's out of control and most of these clubs aren't following the few rules that mm-hmm. there are, it really does bad things for the industry. I mean, let's face it. We're trying to legitimize this industry. And every time we get two steps forward, we got one step backwards because we've got these knuckleheads out here that don't know how to fucking
at some level of it,
rules.
It really is dealing with, like, drug dealers or like criminals. Like, criminals are like, oh,
some
cool, I can
them,
get into that.
Yeah, well, some of them. And I mean, I don't know if you heard, but there's a club out in Venice that got shut down because
what? I didn't hear.
I'm not going to name any names.
Okay.
But one of these clubs was operating as like a full-on like meth spot, like after hours. Like, they shut their doors at 9 and open at 10 or whatever, and like people could get whatever they want.
They got cocky.
Well,
like,
I think
nobody bothers us here.
Kicking your stuff. it's my lazy foot over here.
Yeah.
I think what happened with that was the owner got involved with the wrong people, I guess, or something. I'm not really sure, but shit like that happens when when you're dealing with a Schedule
Full
1 narcotic.
Yeah. Full on meth dealing and doing in the back. Yeah, of course it's going to get shut down.
So the story goes.
And then everybody gets up in arms about, like, oh, they're shutting down weed shops. Like, well, not all. It's, sometimes it's other shit, too. Like, they shut down, like, 400 here once.
Yeah,
and
I remember that.
And like, up in arms. But I was like, these are the places that never filled out any paperwork.
Yeah.
Which is like, you can't even open a shoe store like that.
I know.
You can't just open.
I know. I hope things get resolved here, because it's kind of a hot mess in L.A., to be honest. You know,
I talked to a dispensary owner once, and he had a really nice car, like one of those like top end, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he said the other owners were like, "Hey, man, get a Honda. You're drawing attention to us. Don't do that."
Yeah, well, when you have to like go change your car, you know, it's like that's silly.
Yeah. So you've seen your friends get shut down or arrested or something?
Well, we've had many dispensaries who are our friends get shut down, for sure. Many, many, many. All the time. All day long. And you can thank Obama for that.
Yeah, he was supposed to be like, let it go, right?
No, he was supposed to be that.
And now what does he do? What do you think his involvement is?
Well, there's been more raids and club closures and letters sent in his term than there were in Bush's.
Really?
And I mean,
more.
Both Bush's. Yes. And if you want to look at the stats, unfortunately, Obama's...
So his like creed is like, I'm not going to go after them anymore?
That was...
Just nothing. Just an empty promise.
That was just empty lies, apparently.
Like shutting down Guantanamo.
Yeah.
Like,
right,
we're not
right in line
Americans.
With all the other stuff that kind of didn't go
as
planned.
You're all horrible. Every time you
so
believe
sad.
In one of them,
I
you're
voted
like,
for him. I was so happy.
I would have if I still believed in voting.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I would have voted for him. But he won anyway, so no loss.
I know, right?
Yeah. Same got accomplished. Man, more? That's disappointing.
Yeah, I know. It's very disappointing. So, but did you hear that Dr. Sanjay... This
Gupta?
Yeah,
what did he say?
Came out and is totally retracting his previous statement that cannabis is not medicinal.
Who is Sanjay Gupta? Why does his opinion matter?
He is the... what is his title? I guess
CNN
he's
medical
general.
Correspondent?
Yeah. He's a well-known doctor, and apparently his opinion matters. So.
Okay. And so he said, hey, I spoke too soon on this.
He says he basically is retracting his statement, and
this is unhealthy.
His previous statement said that he is not in support of cannabis as medicine, and now he's turned the corner on that. And it's really a good thing, you know.
Yeah, he said he's got too many
right
reports
direction.
And seen too many stats of people getting help from it.
I'm sorry,
he said he's seeing too many stats and too many reports of people actually getting help from it.
Yeah,
and he's like, I gotta hold on. I wrote this off too quickly.
I mean, you can't deny it. I mean, there's like epileptic kids that are like not having seizures anymore because they're using CBD, and you know, it's like, are you gonna take that away from an epileptic kid? You know,
they arrested some guy. He was buying it for his son. His son was like 13, and he had some disease.
Yeah.
And it's the only thing that helped him. And they were like, if you sell it to him, they're going to arrest you as a dispensary owner. And this one owner, I think it was one of them in Oakland, but he's like, I'm not selling it to a kid who needs it. Who's got cancer and can't eat without it. I'm going to do it anyway. And they just like locked him up immediately.
It's horrible.
He was just like, I'm not going to not sell to this guy. Man.
Well, worse things have happened. There's a story of a family in Sacramento, I believe, that they were growers, and the mother was nursing her child, her young baby, and she also had, I believe, a two-year-old. Excuse me if the facts aren't completely correct here, but the gist of the story is, like, her kid was taken away because she was breastfeeding her child, and she was a cannabis patient.
Wow.
And her child was taken away from her, and I'm not really sure how the story resolved, but it really made me very, very sad to read that story.
Kid?
Kind of just giving me chills right now. It makes me, like, so sick that these things happen, you know.
But you can legally drink when you're pregnant, right?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know.
I wonder if there's a law against it.
You know?
Smoke and drink at 8 months.
It's unbelievable, you know? So,
man, weird.
Crazy.
Okay. So you got into this, and then how did you start drumming up business and stuff? Like, how did you... So you started making products.
We started making the products, and we got really busy pretty soon after we started in San Francisco, and like I said, it was the timing was really good. We got into quite a few clubs pretty soon, and then from there I met somebody who had access to a lot of dispensaries in San Diego and was bringing the product down there, and it just grew like wildfire down there. And then since then we've just been meeting in the middle, like going farther south from Northern California and farther north from San Diego, and now we're all up and down the state, basically.
Wow. I got Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and the company's grown. I mean, it was just me, and then I hired one person and two and three. Now we have 11 people in the company.
You have 11 employees?
Yeah. I have 10 employees.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're like a business.
Full
Auntie
on.
Dolores is a business.
It's a business. It's a non-profit cooperative. I mean,
what does that mean?
It means we don't make any money.
So how do you live? How do you survive?
We survive. I mean, we get by for sure. But like I said, since we lose clubs all the time because of these raids and closures, and then what happens is these patients are like, where do we get the product? Oh, my God, my club shut down. And it's tough, especially for the patients that really need it, you know.
And you can't just ship stuff to them. You have to put it in stores.
No.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so... It's just really
great.
Easier
that way.
What can I say? I mean, it's nice to be able to help people that need it and just keep going, you know? Keep growing as much as we can. But it is a pretty it's a pretty expensive to make the products, you know? To be honest, it's really expensive. So I think that's why we're breaking even right now.
They're not that much. You get $8 or $10 at a store.
Believe me, the prices
are... It'll get you fucked for a long time.
This is the thing, and thank you for saying that, because I think people don't recognize how much bang you get for your buck when you're buying a good edible.
You're talking about two beers at a normal place.
I know.
And you are getting fucked for your entire flight from L.A. to New York.
What people will pay for a cocktail in L.A., let me tell you, $14, $15, you could go get a bag of caramel corn, and it'll last you like a month.
Do you do the caramels also?
That's we don't do caramels,
okay. The caramel at the Russian place.
I love caramel, but it's not easy and fun to make.
And they're all gigantic in your mouth, too, when you eat it. You're like, fills up, all wall. Hold on. You can't talk for like 5 minutes. Yeah, that seems more like an extract kind of thing. How many different products do you have? One, two,
we have 11 now. And we're coming out with more. Always coming out with more.
You know what's cool? As you get name brands, like Auntie Dolores, like whatever, it's then you can start trusting. Like, cool, I know what this is. I can go to a different store I've ever been in.
Yeah, thank you. That's awesome to hear.
Yeah, and you can be like, I know what your, like Jolly Ranchers or whatever they have. Yeah. It's like you're just guessing. You have to ask them questions.
Oh, really?
How high does it get you?
Yeah.
How many do you take? How long you been smoking? You have to try to figure out what it's going to do to you because they're all so different.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you get a packaging. You're like, oh, cool, Auntie Dolores, this will be that. I know what this will be. They need more name
brands.
That's
great. That's always good to hear. Let me tell you. That's awesome.
Is that Sarah Tiana? Yeah. What's up, Sarah?
How many more days are you in town for?
I'm here tomorrow, and then I'm leaving on Thursday. Then I'll be back for two more days on Monday, Tuesday.
Cool.
And that's it.
And you're performing tonight?
I guess I'm performing tonight, yeah.
I didn't get a call yet,
but my name's
on
there.
Show up later. You guys are so funny.
They call me. Left a message. Yeah.
Just roll up and do your thing.
In New York, they text you your spot.
Seriously?
Somebody's like, hey, just so you remember, you have an 11:15 and a 9:45 tonight. And you're like, cool, awesome. So now I don't remember any of them.
You just have to be ready whenever they call.
Like, where are you performing?
Seriously?
Like, I don't know.
Somewhere. Wow. Yeah. That's cool. Well, I want to see your show. Come check you out.
You want to come tonight? I don't know what time I'm on.
I would love to come tonight, but I wouldn't. What time are you going on?
I don't know. Probably.
I wouldn't be able
10,
to get here
till
10:30. Really?
Probably something like that. 10:15.
If I can get my friend to come with me,
yeah,
you know,
because sure.
I'm supposed to hang out with him, but maybe if he's up for it, we'll swing through. Is it sold
2 days
out?
In a row. It's not sold out.
Different friend.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you like comedy?
I love comedy.
Yeah?
Good comedy.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of shitty comedy. There's a lot. You'll probably see some if you come tonight. There'll be a mixture back and forth. You learn how to follow really good people and really bad people. It's like another technique for that.
Stay away from the bad ones.
Yeah, the crowd stopped trusting comedy in general. After like 2 bad people in a row,
oh.
They look at you like, what are you going to do to us? It's like,
that sucks.
You have to pull them out of that.
That's got to suck.
Yeah, it does. I used to work at the cover booth here, take tickets and stuff, and I remember telling people, like, no, it's going to be a great show, and the first comic was horrible. This guy, Peter Chen, just horrible, didn't really, never learned English that well.
Oh, no.
And halfway through his act, I saw them turn and look at me, like as if you lied to me. You said, is it going to be a good show, and you said yes, and you knew goddamn well it wasn't. And I wanted to be like, no, just wait one more comic, and it starts getting good.
Oh, boy. Yeah, why is that, like, so, like, bad comedy is just, I don't know, it's, like, worse than bad singing, it's worse than bad dancing, it's, like, it's...
Plus, when it's offensive, it just, like, makes you uncomfortable. If it's bad comedy about lollipops, it's like, oh, whatever. Maybe because it requires more of your attention as an audience member.
Yeah, maybe
music
that's
does,
what it
and
is.
Now you're giving this attention to this horrible thing. Instead of like, if there's music, bad music playing, you'd be like, wow, are you hearing this?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's so bad. Anyway, so where'd you get the job interview? Yeah. Have to be quiet, listen to horrible. But it's offensive, too. Then it's like, if people get racial and that doesn't go over, then people feel weird in the audience.
You mean if it's bad comedy and it's racial?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might trying
not
to
be a
edgy
very good
and
combo.
Drop an N-bomb, but you don't know how to do it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
At
yeah.
open mics, we used to have that. People would just try. They'd just throw, just at. Over it like 7 times in a row, just throw it out, and everyone would just be like, come on, man.
Yeah.
I feel so weird now.
That's pretty crass.
Yeah. This guy, Ari David, he's running for public office now.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He was not a good comic.
Weird.
He did book a show at the Friars Club, though. And my middle name is David, and I had all these comics coming up to me and being really nice all of a sudden. And I remember thinking, this one guy on the steps here, like being, and I remember thinking, like, you've never talked to me before. That's. But I was like, you know what, man? Whatever. He's going out of his way.
Yeah.
We've known each other for 5 years. He's never tried to talk. Let it happen. Let somebody make the first move. It's totally cool. Talked for like 30 minutes. And at the end, he's like, hey, I'd love to do your show sometime. I was like, I don't have a show. It was at the Friars Club. I thought, I was like, oh. And then it hit me. Why is he even talking to me? And you know what I did? I booked him.
You did?
Yeah. I said, come down in 2 weeks. We'll have a 25-minute spot for you.
Oh, my
Absolutely.
God.
Love to have you on.
That is funny.
Just had him show up. Fuck him. Be fake and nice to me for the first time ever just because I can do something for you. And I can't even do it. So obvious. He never told me anything. He never went to me afterwards. I'm like, hey, man, I showed up. It turns out that's not even you. Like, yeah, it's not. We know this girl, speaking of, who was dirty. She liked to get down. My friend Jim said she was the dirtiest girl he's ever had sex with. And he was the dirtiest guy we knew.
Oh.
She had sex with this guy named... somebody in the office named BJ Novak. And he got this development deal. He was like started with some of us, did open mics with us. He got a development deal. He got punked. It was like moving forward. His career. And this girl heard about it and slept with our friend BJ Bales. A different BJ. Thinking it was him.
No
yeah.
way.
He realized like... midway through, I don't know, about the date or whatever, that she thought he was somebody else, maybe the makeout session, and he was like, well, I'm not going to say a word. She found out later. What do you want to say? You want to stop
like,
for this?
Do people fucking use Google? What the hell?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
This was 7 or 8 years ago. It was right before The Office started, so maybe they wasn't around as much. Found out that she got the wrong BJ. Gave the BJ to the wrong BJ. Found that out. Still fucked the right BJ.
Oh.
Was like, no, I'm gonna follow through on this. And still, so couldn't even in her head say,
wow.
Well, no, he's a really nice guy. That's why I slept with him. Just, nope, I'm going after this guy.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
What did she achieve, actually?
She achieved Hall of Fame status in the fucking, in the Girls Who Get Down category.
Wow.
She didn't achieve anything.
Sad state of affairs, ladies.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's kind of sad.
I wonder if anybody's fucked Roseanne Cash thinking they were Roseanne Barr.
Oh!
And just like, oh yeah, Roseanne, cool, I'll totally fuck you. Probably not. Probably wrong one way.
Oh my god. Roseanne Cash.
Have you had people write you back and say these are too strong or these are like dispensary owners? Yeah.
It has happened, actually.
Do you have a comment section of a website or anything that people can?
We will soon. We just totally revamped our website.
When is it going to launch?
It's launched. It launched last week. So, and then we're adding different.
You should have comments for each product. Let people make comments.
Oh, yeah.
Make a community.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. It's totally a good idea. You know, we love getting feedback. That's another reason why we do the tasting demos, so that we can, like, talk to the patients and actually, you know.
Yeah.
Give them information that they might be curious about and let them taste it so that they can, like, go home and feel it and then come back for more.
Right. Yeah, that's the only way you can really test it. I mean, a taste of something is like, yeah, good. And then you're like, we'll see. I don't know.
We'll see. Exactly. And we always say, go check it out. You know, it's not like that person just smashed into that sign.
Did he really? That's awesome.
He's like, oops.
He's looking at it right now.
Never a dull moment out here, I tell you.
You think he's going to stop? It's just a sign. I guess we shouldn't bother stopping.
Just a sign.
We had me and my ex-roommate. Me and my ex-roommate, Aaron Levine, were playing golf, and we were talking afterwards, and this guy, it was a parking lot where you can turn into a parking lot to the left or the right, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a middle lane for driving, and he backed up his car and just smashed a Mercedes. And this guy had, like, a shitty Pinto-type car.
Oh, God.
And it was like this hard. It was like that much, where it's, like, it dented slightly. And I was like, fuck. He looks up. I don't know if you've ever gotten into an accident, but he looked up and, like, your first reaction is like, who saw this?
Oh, yeah.
Am I in trouble? And he saw two guys just staring at him. And he's like, fuck. And he starts to go, and I just go, hey, man, don't worry about it. He's like, what? I'm like, fuck that guy. He's driving a Mercedes. How about we win one for once?
Ooh.
Like, we ain't going to say a word.
Ooh.
And he just, his face lit up, and he got the fuck out of there. Yeah,
oh,
what's he have to pay $3,000 to a Mercedes-Benz owner? It was so nice, that car. You deal with it.
Oh, my God.
You're the money bags.
You're bad.
I guess so. I didn't hit him. Sometimes justice doesn't follow the same rules for different people.
Well, stay away from my car. Shit.
Yeah. You know what I used to do when I was little? I'll stop now. But when I was little and didn't know responsibility, I would leave a note on people's car. Because I thought people were watching me, so I would hit them, then I would leave a note and write it. But the note would just be like, hey, listen, I hit your car. I'm sorry, but I can't afford to stop at all. I'm writing this note because people are watching me. But just so you know, it happened in this parking lot here, so sorry about that. And then you leave that note in their windshield, and everybody thinks you took care of it.
That's so evil.
Yeah.
Like, mastermind crazy.
I used to steal people's tickets off their car, too, and put it on my car.
Yeah,
man, I remember all this horrible stuff now.
Anything you can do to trick the friggin' meter maids, I don't know.
Yeah. What's on here for remembering things? Because maybe this helps me remember all these stories.
Don't use cannabis if you're looking for to gain some memory.
Have you seen any effects of taking, like, edibles a lot?
You know what? I think that the effects, for me, I personally prefer edibles over smoking or vaporizing. I've been doing a little bit more vaping lately, but I still like edibles the best. I love the high. There's something about it that's just a little bit more interesting to me.
It's amazing, the high.
Physical or something. Like, I feel tingling in my body, and I feel all these, like, cool sensations that I don't get when I'm
like
smoking.
What? Like, people say it's a body high, but I'm like, that doesn't quite explain what it is.
Yeah, I don't like that term either.
Yeah,
high
in the head,
like,
too.
It's like sensations. They're just, you know, like I said, tingling, or like you sometimes will feel like warmth throughout your body. Now, granted, I do a lot of yoga and stuff, and I love to be medicated when I do yoga.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's when you really get into some quantum states, you know, you can really, like, go out there into.
And that was more when you don't smoke, when you eat?
I always do an edible before yoga.
Really?
Yeah. You know why?
No.
Because it's an analgesic, and I can hold the poses a lot longer when I'm medicated.
Wow.
I can concentrate better. I can
Yeah, concentrate
balance.
Better.
My balance is better when I'm medicated.
I would do
jiu-jitsu like
high, and it was yeah. it was like everything slowed down. Where I'm like, yeah. oh, this guy's gonna move this way with his hand. Yeah. So that means what do I have to? Oh yeah, it's like the uh-huh. and just like basketball too. It just slows everything down.
Flows like everything flows better. Yeah. It's
the best thing
it's
is fucking poker on when I'm high on a good sativa.
Oh really?
Yeah, I zone in. I'm in your Ooh. Head. Ooh. I really feel like I'm like I know exactly what you have. I know what I can make you do and lay yeah. down cards.
Yeah.
Well, right after a break. Right after breaks. Yeah. Like the first 40 minutes.
That's great.
Yeah.
I feel like cannabis is a truth serum as well.
Really?
I think it makes people more honest and real.
Maybe. Yeah,
I do.
Since I've been smoking, I've been more open.
Yeah, I think
last,
it just
like 7 or 8
years. Definitely, like, it just, I don't know.
Why? Maybe because you relax
stuff.
And you're like, I don't care. Fine, so I know this about me. Who cares? It's who
yeah,
I am.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, you're like more in line with, you know.
I always attribute that to mushrooms. Maybe it's just weed.
Could be both.
Yeah. So you take it. You take one before you do yoga. Mm-hmm. And does it have any effect? Like if I take that wax too much,
Ugh.
Then it really makes my head heavy.
Yeah.
I got on mine once or twice, but if it's straight for a week, then I'm like, I just get
yeah.
foggy. Even like the next yeah. day or the day after.
Yeah, with concentrates, it's like edibles. You got to know which ones to get and make sure you get the good ones.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff, though, and you can definitely alter your tolerance level pretty profoundly with
Practice.
Concentrates as well as yeah. with edibles. Like,
yeah.
I think that's part of why for me now, when I smoke flowers, like I don't really even get high.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I almost like have to do concentrate
so
or edible. I know. So now I just like smoke weed. It's like smoking a cigarette, which is great.
Which is nice.
I'm totally addicted to cigarettes.
That's
and
one
it's
of the
gross.
Times I started smoking weed was like I quit smoking cigarettes
yeah.
and then I'm like, I need to do something.
Dude,
and then I smoked a bunch more pot.
Dude, my latest like total addiction right now are
yeah.
these things.
E-cigarettes.
I know. It's so bad. They're probably horrible for you, but
they've got to be better than cigarettes.
They're better than cigarettes. That's just it. That's how I justify it. But
yeah.
it's like
anyone who wants to say, like, all those things are bad for you, too, it's like, why are you poo-pooing
okay.
someone who's trying? No, it's got nicotine in
oh,
it, right?
You can't do. You're totally.
I'm off nicotine.
Yeah. I think it's. Yeah.
Brian Redband, he. Because you can get those nicotine levels down on those, right? On some of them?
Yeah.
He added. He had quit smoking. He added nicotine to it and re-addicted That's himself.
Dumb. That's dumb.
It's so dumb. And then he started smoking again. It's just like, yeah, we're in.
Yeah.
You love those, huh?
I like it. Yeah, it's just, you know what, like when I'm driving or whatever.
Something to do.
That's when I like to smoke.
Some little piece of like vapor comes out so you can see it. You get it's rewarding in your mouth
totally
to breathe in and out.
And your hand's doing something. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's all the things that you're addicted to and you're addicted to cigarettes. It's more than just the nicotine and all that. I think it's like having something in your hand, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing something.
I tried cinnamon sticks for a while when I was quitting.
Oh,
just to have something you could
idea.
Chew on and like...
Yeah, I haven't tried that.
Release in your mouth. They're
I don't
perfect
smoke
size.
That much, but it just would be nice if I could like kick it once and for all, you know, but I'm like, I'll buy a pack of cigarettes and it'll last me 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's great then. That's not even
I just
addicted.
I have like maybe 3 cigarettes a day or something like that.
I heard studies on the thing that shows how addicted you are to cigarettes is how early in the day you need it, not how much you smoke.
Oh, really?
But like if you can go the first 12 hours without and then smoke a pack, they said you're not as addicted as somebody who smokes like 8 throughout the day, but
yeah.
starts as soon as you wake up.
Like, I had a cigarette last night. That was probably the first cigarette I've had in a couple weeks because I've been puffing on this thing.
It's fun when you're with people, like outside the Laugh Factory
yeah.
or somewhere, and everyone's there smoking. So that's when I want to participate in that.
I know.
Like, include me.
It's a total ritual. That's why,
yeah.
you know? That's another thing to get addicted to.
Yeah, it's just another thing to get addicted to. Hey, okay, so if I'm sharing this with somebody who
yes.
is not an edible user, maybe he's had a couple cookies in his life,
which I
meet a lot of those people.
I would give him a quarter.
A quarter of one of these small peanut butter brownies.
Or
and what would that do to them?
Give him one or two pretzels instead, because it's kind of hard to cut these brownies
okay.
up. I mean,
oh, yeah,
of course you can, obviously, but they're... So what would that do to someone with a low tolerance?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to get high like they just took a couple hits off of a joint. You
oh,
know?
That's it?
For sure.
They don't get like, whoa.
Oh, no. Well, for them, if that's what it takes, yeah.
Okay.
Then they would. It's just, it's so hard to say. But for someone with
I mean,
a low
like,
tolerance,
they only need
a couple of pretzels.
And it'll last a long time, too, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to go to watch a concert or something,
yeah.
a couple pretzels and you're good for a few hours.
Put it like this. One pretzel has 4 milligrams, roughly, of
okay.
THC. So 3 or 4 pretzels is like one dose. So that's a perfect amount to give to a newcomer. You could even give him two pretzels. I mean,
just let him get a little buzz.
Oh, my friend that I was with last night, he had one pretzel and he got wrecked.
Really?
And he smokes weed. So, I mean, I don't know. Everybody's so different.
My ideal, I like getting obliterated, but still safe. Like, so yeah. Not so much that I'm like getting the spins. I'm like, oh, fuck. I can't. I got to sit
fine
down
line,
and hold the
though,
ground. Yeah.
You know, it's hard to gauge it.
Yeah.
You know?
But if I fall short on obliterated and get like a little high, it's like, that's still okay. Then I'm still fine.
Yeah.
UFCs are the best. It's 6 hours. It's a 6 hour affair.
Yeah. Well, not if you, you know, like, if I don't want to be high for 6 hours, I'll just eat a few pretzels myself, and it'll kind of give me a little buzz. It's just, yeah. It's not like I'm high, but I'm,
buzz.
You know.
You don't have to feel all the horrible pain.
Yeah, and, you know, I also feel like if you're using cannabis recreationally, you're also using it medicinally, even though you may not think of it like that, because it's doing good things for you, you know, besides getting you high.
Right. Yeah, I guess it is. We convinced a guy, we were on tour, and he was like straight edge, ex-military, and he's like, nope, won't touch it. And we just like, well, I'm smoking in the car, so do what you want. And after a while, he eventually took it. He had a bad back. We made him sit way in the back with all the luggage because he was like our roadie, and we let to abuse him. But he sat in the back. And after a while, he's like, hey, my back feels better. And like, he wasn't looking for it.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. All right. What else is good for edibles as opposed to pot, like smoking? What else does it do for you?
Well, it's
you said you're like tingling their body. You can sort of feel it better.
Yeah.
Have you fucked on edibles?
Yes.
Of course you have.
Okay. No, edibles, pot in general is totally an aphrodisiac, and edibles even more so, I think.
Aphrodisiac. Not just makes it feel better, but like it gets you like hotter.
Totally.
It does that for me, but when I smoke pot with girls at my house, and they're like, oh, I'm high. I don't want to. Fuck now. I'm like, what?
Okay,
I want to fuck more.
Here's the problem. There's one like huge deterrent to fucking getting down. Cotton mouth. So throw that into the equation and it can like all go a different direction.
I hate
cotton mouth, you know? So you got to make sure
you're going down on a girl or blowjob.
They
make it really weird.
Make sure you got some water.
A lot of water.
Or coconut water would be better.
Coconut's better for
rehydrating.
Some Gatorade. Get that in your system.
Yeah, I mean, it has a drying effect, you know?
Yeah.
It can have a drying effect on your whole body, which is not good.
Yeah.
But on a more like mental.
It feels so good, though.
It does.
When you're super ripped, it feels so good.
I know. I totally agree. Absolutely.
To tell this guy,
everything's better on weed. What are you going to do?
Everything's better on weed.
Kind of. I know.
I love those UFCs when I sit there and I take a breast strip or take something. Those are the easiest to fly with because they just take up no space. You can put them in your wallet or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I'll sit there and I'll like, there's that period of like, is it going to kick in? I don't know. It's just not instant, like smoking.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at Joey and it's like, you feel anything? And he's like, maybe. It's like maybe I feel it. And then you look back again like 20 minutes later when you realize you've just been staring blankly forward for 30 minutes. And you look and he's doing the same thing. And you're like, oh, yeah, we didn't feel anything before. Yeah, now it's clearly in.
So does he have to, like, he probably takes 5 times as much as you would.
He just goes for it.
Yeah.
We had, the breast strips used to be half of one was perfect.
You can't tell me those breast strips get Joey Coco Diaz high. I don't believe it.
Maybe not.
I don't believe it. He needs,
maybe not.
He needs the big guns.
Yeah, his tolerance is so much different. And then when he explains it to you too, he's like, how much do I need? He's like, I don't know, maybe half. He's like, okay, should I take half? He's like, take the whole thing. I'm like, well, which one's like, I don't know, whatever. I don't know, eat it. I don't know. He just doesn't know. He just eats whatever's in front of him. He doesn't bother with halves.
Oh, boy.
He did my storyteller show online. We taped these things for Comedy Central, and he was obliterated
on
maybe one of your things. I'm not sure. But he came in and was like, dude, I am so fucked. Put me at the end. I'm like, all right. Give him some more time to calm down.
Oh, man. I don't know how you could remember, you know, your act and everything if you're like,
we've done enough
hot
times. It's like,
seriously,
although this is a story he hasn't really done much before. Yeah, if I'm super bonkers, it's hard.
Yeah,
until I like just accept that I'm not gonna be on point now, and I just like, let's just fuck around and just have a good time for showcases and things. If we're taping something, I would never take it before that.
Yeah,
and I'll smoke it, you know, half an hour before, but I'm not gonna get obliterated.
Yeah,
I love getting like that, though. There was once I had a freak out where I thought I was going to... I get low blood pressure.
Yeah.
And this medicine I take for depression sort of exacerbates it. And so when I get high, sometimes I get lightheaded.
Yeah.
Or even when I don't get high. And so it happens when I stand up too much. It's not that bad. I just hold on to like a car for like 5 seconds. And I, you know, not even all the time. But we were taking off, or not taking off, we were going to. And I was thinking like, hey, if I get lightheaded because all the blood rushes to my feet as we take off, I'm going to pass out like I did before. I passed out. And I was like, but the plane will just keep taking off and keep rising up in the air. So the blood will just stay in my feet. And I just won't have any blood in my brain. And I'm going to die. Like, that's what happens. It takes off for like 3 minutes. I'll die in that time.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I was 90% sure I was going to die. And we were sitting there. And I was like so close to just telling, like, get me off the plane. Get me off. I got to get off.
Fuck. Oh, that's the worst.
It was only because Rogan was sitting next to me. And I knew the 10% of me that nothing would happen. I had to take the abuse for the next year or two.
Was he as high as you were?
No, he wasn't at all high.
Oh.
He didn't even know I was, though.
Is he a stoner?
Yeah, he's a stoner.
He is,
he's
right?
Pretty every stoner.
Yeah.
I was like holding on to the handrest, like sweating, and he just like, yeah, everything's fine.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So where can they get your stuff? All over. San Francisco, LA.
All over. Apparently on our website now, if you go on our website, which
what is
www.auntiedolores.com.
I'm going to spell it. Packaging.
I'm going to spell it out because people always spell it wrong.
They spell
it
with a Y, right?
It's Auntie with D-O-L-O-R-E-S. That's how you spell Dolores.
Auntie I-E. And why do you call it Auntie Dolores? I didn't know that at all.
Dolores means pain.
In what language?
And suffering, Spanish.
Okay.
And so it's a little play on words,
Auntie Dolores, anti-pain. Yeah.
Cannabis,
I like that a lot.
Is an anti-pain.
I didn't know that at all, but I like that a lot.
Not many people know it.
No.
It's kind of secret.
Does anyone ever just guess that? Or just say, like,
people
do you
ask,
know?
You know what? We thought we would do, like, a contest or something, if anybody actually knows, you know, but... We don't really make a big deal of it because we want to see if people can figure it out themselves. And there's really, honestly, since we've been in business, there's only been like two people that got it.
Really?
Yeah. And they were both Spanish-speaking people. So they're like, oh.
Do you know Dolores means pain? And they're like, yeah, I do. Wait, that's hilarious. You watch them get it in front of you.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool. See them come to it.
Yeah, it's cool.
That's rad. I want to make something one day. I want to see what it's like to bake.
You do?
Yeah, you should have horror stories
Oakland.
On there too. Fun horror stories. Can I visit your shop
totally.
In Oakland?
Yeah, come.
Oh, I would do that.
Come to our kitchen. If you come up north.
Okay.
Totally. Yeah, give you a little tour.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I went to Oakland once. It's kind of cool. It's not like the Oakland that I hear about from MC Hammer songs. It's more like it's more like the fucking Grove.
Yeah, it's come a long way since
MC
Hammer.
It's nice,
like, you know?
Hip parts of it with thrift stores and...
It's rad.
Yeah.
I actually live in Alameda, which is like a little island off to the side of Oakland. But our kitchen's
in
Oakland.
When the zombies attack.
Sorry?
That's where you go with the zombies attack.
Yeah, exactly.
Zombies can't cross water.
Yeah, well, it's I'm going to just like jump in a boat and start, you know, sailing away.
Just go for it. What was I going to say? I forget. Well, maybe that thing's kicking in now. Not yet, but
say,
yeah, it's starting
right
to.
What time did you take that? Like,
I don't know, probably like
2:15 or something.
Maybe 2:15. Yeah, maybe right around there.
How long does it usually take?
3:45. No, we met at 2:30, right? Usually takes 45 minutes to an hour. My friend, we were in La Jolla once, and this girl used to make excellent cookies, cakes and stuff, and peanut butter things. Real strong, but she would always tell us the dosage. She would like look at you, and she knew. She was like, "All right, take half.
Yeah,
wait 45 minutes. If it hasn't kicked in by then, you can go for it."
But
I remember waiting like 44 minutes and telling my friend Matt Notes, like, "I'm probably just gonna take the other half."
Mm.
And we were driving together, and he goes, "That's cool, but you know, this is how those stories start." And I was like, "Yeah, this is how they start."
That's good advice.
And I waited 10 more minutes, and it kicked in on its own. I didn't take the other half, and I'm so glad I didn't. I got a nice, good, fucking high and a fun time.
That's really good advice
that
your friend gave you.
They're good for adventures, music festivals.
Do you like licorice?
Yeah. Does that have stuff in there?
No, it's not medicated.
It's regular licorice flavor?
It's
no,
black.
That's disgusting.
No.
Why would anyone have that? Why would anyone offer that in 2013?
I love this. I'm so addicted to licorice.
Black licorice?
People think it's weird. Whatever.
That's before we had the power. And the expertise to make strawberry and cherry licorice.
Oh, no,
they make chocolate licorice now.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
I love black licorice. It's like
really?
One of my favorite things.
It's the Jägermeister of candy.
I know. If I could figure out how to infuse licorice.
You should do that.
I would totally do it.
You
I don't
know they were doing for a
possible.
While, the one I know that I got introduced to that guy, but they were, they took Orville Redenbacher microwave butter popcorn and then just sliced it open real lightly, put a bunch of THC oil in there, and then just like somehow sealed it back, and they were selling those until Orville Redenbacher came in and go, no, you can't, not with our product name on it. You absolutely cannot do that.
That is, why did they think they were going to get away with
that? I don't know. I don't know. I think they call it Orville, what would they have called it?
That is.
Is there another kind of?
You know, it's just a microwave cannabis.
Really? Why?
I don't know. I mean, some people think it's no big deal. I don't like to do it. We only
I like
do
the
it
idea
for
of microwave
bit,
popcorn.
But it's too.
Your popcorn's good, too. It's that caramel corn, right?
Which one?
Don't you have popcorn?
We have caramel corn. Yeah,
caramel corn. That's it.
Yeah, it's this one.
It tastes good. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
How many do you take? You take the whole bag?
No. Well, because of the sugar, I wouldn't do that. That's, you know.
I love that. I love that.
I can handle the potency.
Too much
it's
sugar.
That's
a deficit after a while. He goes, I keep eating all these cookies. I'm gaining weight.
I know.
It's just me drug using. I'm not supposed to gain weight on drugs.
I know. Well, that's why you got to stick to the pretzels and the peanuts. And,
just a little
know,
bit.
The crackers. There's no sugar in those.
For your health. Take pretzels.
Yeah.
I actually do that when I stop by like Pink Dot or something. I'm like, let me just get some pretzels. That's a healthy snack food.
No, it's not.
No, it's just not. Salt and fucking
it's
wheat.
Just, I know. It's like basically carbs.
Yeah. Okay, so you have this website. Mm-hmm. Let's think what else we should tell people. Put pressure on
us.
The dispensary. Should they do that? Should they ask their local?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, anytime you tell your local dispensary what products you like, they'll 9 times out of 10, they'll carry them.
Yeah,
I mean,
get
come on, let's just get what sells and what people like. I mean, it only makes sense. And also, you can follow us on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on
what's
Instagram.
What's your Twitter? Auntie Dolores?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you put on Twitter?
Auntie Dolores.
Okay, in your website, you got to have people writing in their fun stories when they do
okay.
something like
yeah,
overdose or like have fun.
Yeah. Yeah,
or
we do.
Fun times, lost my
totally.
Virginity,
okay.
whatever it is.
Well, you write one and we'll put it up as the first
okay.
one, okay?
Okay, yeah, a little blog.
I'm sure you got a good story for me.
Yeah, and then I'm sure I do. I'll write one up. And then you can have, and then just take the good ones and just put it into the...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Totally.
Community, man.
Totally.
What's your deal? Are you a hippie? What's your story? Like, how do you
am
get
I a
into
hippie?
This? Yeah.
I'm not anything. I don't really fall into any category.
Really? I'm
I
trying to sum you up by looking at you. I can't tell.
I know.
Tell
you're though. Like, she's
like... Yoga with tats.
I guess I'm a... I don't even want to say it. I'm not going to say it. I'm not
what?
Anything but just a woman.
What do people
what
say
mean?
You are?
People say all kinds of shit.
I picture you as a fat old lady, like Mrs. Weatherby.
I met somebody in San Francisco last week. She saw my Auntie Dolores t-shirt. She came up to me and we started talking. She's like, I always thought you'd be like this fat Latino woman. I was like, thanks.
Dolores, is that a Latino name? Is that a Mexican name?
Yeah.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, I was like, okay, cool. I'm glad
yeah.
I'm giving off a persona that's not me. It
yeah,
helps,
Diaz
you know.
Like, you'll be shocked, bro. You'll be shocked. She's fucking hot. She's like,
oh, stop.
Kind of looks to her.
Aw, that's nice.
Yeah. Oh, that is
I
nice.
Guess I am kind of hippie. I'm kind of punk rock. I'm kind of a little
it.
Bit this, a little bit of that. You know?
Have you gotten into fights?
Have I gotten into fights? Do we need to go down this road, my friend?
That's why you started taking the weed. Have you gotten a lot of fights?
No. I haven't gotten in a lot of fights, but I have been challenged.
Really? Physically?
Oh, I've been jumped a couple times.
Oh, in Oakland before it was cool?
No,
New
in
York
San Francisco,
before that was cool.
I got jumped when I was with my kid. And,
yeah. You got a kid?
Yeah.
Trouble. Where do you have a kid from?
Where?
Yeah.
Oh, you know.
A marriage,
immaculate
a
conception.
Dude.
Like
yeah.
No, I have a 20-year-old.
What?
She's going to be 20 in October.
How old are you?
43.
Wow. You're looking good.
Thanks.
You're welcome. It's the yoga.
No, yeah, my daughter and I were walking down the street
yeah.
in San Francisco. This is probably 8 years ago, okay? And this crazy tranny came out of nowhere because she didn't like the way I looked at her or something.
I like that you call her she. That's still really polite, and that's what LGBT would like you to do.
I know, but then she came at me with, like, huge tits and fingernails and, like, just was ready to fucking throw down, and I just kicked her in the stomach, and before I knew it, she took me down, and we're in the gutter in the street, okay, like in the Mission District. And then I fucking struggled, and I got back up on top of her and nailed her down, and I started just like slamming her face against the curb.
Whoa.
It was ugly. My daughter was watching the whole thing, okay? She's like, get off my mom! Leave my mom alone! And, you know,
it's fucking do something, daughter. Just cheer. Get in the game.
It was fucked up.
What?
People were all around us watching. Not one person broke it up.
Nobody. Even in San Francisco. Those dopey white people who think they're better than everybody.
I don't know, man. People want to fucking mind their own business, but they want to get a good look, too. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's lame. But whatever. It's all good. I got up, and like my head was bleeding, but she was limping as she was crossing the street. So I think I might have.
Fucked her up? She didn't get your money or anything?
No, she wasn't after my money. Like, we were like walking through a gas station, and like, I looked at her, and she thought it was the day after, or like a 3-day weekend. She looked like she was all coked up and
nobody
shit.
Nobody gets instantly angrier than trannies. They take everything as an offense. If you tap your horn, if they're walking in front of you, oh, you don't want a piece of why is fierceness a quality of fucking trannies? How about be cool,
in case
lady?
You didn't know, since you are actually biologically started off as a man, it's kind of unfair to fucking pick a fight with a girl anyway.
Yeah.
Because you might get your ass kicked.
I like that. You wailed her head against the pavement. That's awesome.
It was pretty bad. And
I wonder if they would have stopped it if she was really beating your ass, like really like punching over and over again where it wouldn't stop. And your daughter was yelling and nobody
stop. After I finished, I got up and I like had to peel myself off of her because she wanted to keep going, and I was like trying to get the fuck out of there, you know. And my daughter was like hysterical at that point.
Was her hair
and I went into a cafe to go wash the blood off my head.
Yeah.
And the cafe wouldn't even let me use the bathroom because they were like, what's this bloody mess? Gross. Like,
you're like, I'm not a vagabond. It's them. They're the fucking vagrants.
I show up with my little daughter, and I'm all bleeding. Like, can I use your bathroom? And they're like, nope.
No, we aren't customers here. Not fucking people bleeding on the streets. They look at all your tats, and they're like, we don't want you.
It was really messed up.
You could easily pass for heroin addict. If you wanted to, like, play that in a movie, you could totally do that. Fuck your hair up a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, you could pass.
I'll put that on my resume.
You have to say you were, like, 23, though.
I
have to say that.
I could be 23 in the dark, you know.
Yeah. Like, but just say you've done heroin since 16. And so that's why. Not 23, maybe 29. Something like that. You just look really bad for 29.
Well, luckily, because of weed, I never went down that road, you know.
Yeah.
They say weed's the gateway drug.
I want to try heroin once just to see what it feels like. I'm so scared, though.
I know. I'm the same way. I still have not tried it. I kind of want to try it, but I'm scared. I'm scared of, like, liking it too much.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is obviously the fright. Less than overdosing, even, is the, oh, I'll love this, like everyone does, and want to do it more.
Yeah. I know.
I'm going to give myself 3 times. Once to try it, 2 to be like, okay, cool, this is like what it should feel like now. I'm not surprised by any of the, you know, effects.
Yeah.
And then 3 for a good send-off. 1 more time on heroin.
Oh, that's a good approach.
Yeah, but then I'll be like, well, maybe just 4, 5, and 6. I don't know. I'll probably never do it.
Might be better not.
Fuck yeah, Juliana. Thanks for talking to me and stuff.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. And thanks for this care package. This is amazing.
Totally. Just,
I love this.
You know.
Be careful.
Be careful with that.
Yeah. Wow, there's so many things in here.
Don't eat it all at once.
Yeah, this is the stuff. Chocolate peanut butter brownie bite. It looks so small.
It is so small.
60 milligrams. 59 milligrams. Okay.
It's meant to just pop it back, and it's, you know, it's just one bite of gooey yumminess.
Yeah. Do you have like recipes and stuff you follow? Stuff that's better. Have you ever made anything that just did not come out right? You just couldn't get there with weed? Like what?
That every time we develop new products, it's a bunch of fuck-ups first, and then you get it right, and it takes a long time to develop the products, like months.
Really?
Yeah, it takes a lot longer
than
I ever...
How did you guys test the dosage on yourself, like to see the effects and stuff?
Yeah, what we do is we come up with the recipe without the medicine first, something that tastes really good and that's got some really strong flavors already in it that we know...
Because the strong flavors will cover up any lingering...
That will help mask the flavor of the cannabis in any way that we can. I mean,
peanut butter's good for that, right?
Yeah, caramel. Peanut butter's great. Chili,
spicy.
Lime, peanut. I mean, you can't even taste it in there.
Yeah.
You can't really taste it in the pretzels either. It's soy sauce and garlic and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
So we always find ingredients that are going to do that. We do a few batches without the medicine to get it dialed first. Then we start adding the medicine, and little by little, to make it taste good, make it strong, we get it tested.
Add a little more butter, whatever.
Yeah, we just would modify it depending on how strong we want to make the product, et cetera. Get it tested, yada, yada. And then from there, we just do more. It's more recipe development just after you get it tested, because then you're like, you set this other element into the picture. Now you have to develop that end of it. So it's kind of like layers and layers of...
But you've got your extract process kind of down now, right?
With that part's on autopilot. The extract process is down, but for different products, it might come out stronger, weaker, depending on how much oil is called for in the recipe. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, and then we always push it to the limit. We always put, like if the brownie recipe calls for a cup of butter, we usually do 2 cups of butter.
To make it really delicious.
Make it really strong.
Okay.
You know?
Oh, right. How much can you get in there?
Yeah, it's like, how much butter or coconut oil can you stuff into this product?
Do you have stuff you just never were able to get? Like, Ben & Jerry's has a graveyard behind their corporate offices for their old flavors.
Seriously?
That have been discontinued. And it'll be
we've discontinued stuff a lot.
Really?
Yeah. We've already discontinued probably 5 or 7 products.
Like what? What didn't get in there?
We used to do gingerbread.
Gingerbread,
we used to do chocolate espresso, Barney's.
Yeah.
Brownies. Barney's.
Barney's.
We used to do, what else? Oh, we used to do holiday stuff. We'll probably do more of that, like little candy cane cookies and stuff like that. What else did we discontinue?
Candy canes. Holiday things would be cool.
Yeah.
For the spirit of it.
Totally.
But still put the Auntie Dolores name on it.
Yeah.
To where it's like, you know what this is, you know the...
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Gluten-free, too. Yeah, what else?
To do, like,
oh, so you're done
boxes.
With candies for holidays? That's a good idea. I like that
you
one.
No, we don't do candy, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we might down the road, but it's not something that we've really delved into.
When do people give pound cakes to each other? Or fruit cakes? What are those things called?
Oh,
like the things that people re-gift?
Oh,
what are
like
those called? Fruit loaf? No, what are those called?
Just a fruit cake.
Fruit cake. Okay, that. Yeah, do that. Shitty fruit cakes, but full of weed. For like $60. For
we
a party.
We would probably be more inclined to do a pie. Like, we do these apple pies at Christmas time, and then we slice them up, and we give them to the bartenders. And one year, God, man, we made these pies that were like, each slice had like, 300 milligrams or something. It was insane, and it tasted so good.
Really?
Yeah, because we just like we put the stuff in there, like ginger and other things that just kind of bite the flavor and cover it.
That would be a great holiday treat for Thanksgiving or for anything.
Oh,
is to warm that up in the microwave.
Yeah.
Put some ice cream on top of it.
Yeah.
Or the oven, whatever.
Yeah.
Could you? Is there a way to do that? Could you do that and like keep it fresh-ish a little bit at the dispensaries?
It's hard to do pie because it needs to be, you know.
It would be so good, though. Yeah, how can we do this? I'm wondering how we can do it. Because it goes, if you're with a bunch of friends
totally.
And be like, guys, the piece de resistance at the end is
if
weed
we
pie.
If we did a pie, like the kind we do for giveaways, if we had to sell it, we'd have to sell that pie for probably like at least $100.
$100.
Yeah.
Would that be fine? We're talking about serving for what, 6-7 people?
Yeah.
That's great. $100 pie.
That's
what you bring
a party
to the dinner.
Right there.
That's what you bring to the dinner.
It's a party. If you need me to make you something, let me know.
Thanksgiving or Christmas
holiday
time.
Treats.
How about an appetizer? Because then by the time you
great.
Get fucked up,
yes.
It's right at the end of the meal. That's when
that's
you want it.
Exactly what's up.
Okay, what can we do appetizer-wise?
Okay, here's what we did. Because we do cooking classes sometimes, and we did a whole Thai food meal, and everything in the meal was infused like with cannabis.
You did that?
Yeah, and we did like chicken skewers, and we just rubbed the coconut oil on the chicken skewer before we baked it.
Uh-huh.
And then we put the coconut oil, the cannabis oil, in, mixed it in with the peanut sauce. And then like every time we added more cannabis, we measured how many more milligrams we were adding so that we were able to like send
figure
everybody home
total.
With a meal that was like 150 milligrams, and we knew exactly like how...
Split up throughout the meal.
Yeah.
Wow.
And everybody got wrecked. And
really?
It was really good, too. It tasted great.
That's the key. Make it great and get wrecked.
Spicy food. I mean, you can mask cannabis all day long with spices.
So you just put the coconut oil on stuff?
Yeah. Like we do a coconut oil extract, just like we do a butter extract. And it's solid when it's at room temperature, just like butter is. And you melt it down and it's liquid again. And then you just brush it on. You could put it on
anything.
Would
be cool for family meals.
Totally.
Or not family meals, but you know, cool
meals.
But the
appetizer thing's great because then you medicate before you have a big meal, which is the best time to do it. So
it'll kick in right before you get dessert.
Yeah.
And you'll love dessert then.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what's an appetizer? Salads? We're not, can't do it in salads.
No,
what do we got?
No, bite-sized appetizers are great. Stuffed mushrooms, croquettes. I mean, there's a million things you can do. Little bite-sized sandwiches.
And so you could buy 10 of them and serve them to your party.
Totally. You could do any appetizers, little bite-sized things. That's the best way to medicate. Like, right before your meal.
Can you make something like that and keep it fresh? What
keep
can
it
you
fresh
make?
Fresh and sell it in the
dispensaries.
Clubs would be hard.
Damn it!
I know. Well, maybe
because I'm never going to cook. A guy like me is never going to cook. So having an extract won't help us at all.
Yeah, well, I can give you a little bit of oil, and you just use it how you like. You throw it in whatever you're eating. You know?
You're not hearing my dream. I dream of a type of thing where you could show up to a party. You know how you show up to a party with like, hey, I brought whatever.
What's wrong with this? Or the pretzels. You're talking about like an actual appetizer.
Yeah, so everyone can eat it with it.
Yeah. Well,
there's
let me think about that.
Okay.
Because I think maybe there's a way to...
I'll get suggestions. I know now I realize I've been talking about it. I'll get suggestions for appetizers that could work in terms of prepackaging them.
Yeah.
How long do these last in this? This is brownies. How long can you, after you buy this?
2 weeks without refrigeration. Probably 3 months with
refrigeration.
And about a year in the freezer.
In the freezer.
Yes.
I've eaten them from the fridge after way more than 3 months. And they just get harder, but they work fine.
They still work, yeah. They'll get hard because it's a... You know, it's a baked product. Yeah. It's a brownie. It's going to dry out just like any other food would.
Yeah, it's annoying when you have to crunch through it because you couldn't get your shit together to eat a hot cookie.
I know.
I'm a hoarder, though, so I like having stuff at my house all the time.
No, it's good to freeze it, you know.
Freezer. I never thought of that.
Yeah, no, freezing's great with our brownies. We put them in the freezer right after we package them. And they you take them out, and they taste like they were just baked. The texture is really good. So that's what we tell all our clubs and all the patients
once
that use our
out.
Products to freeze everything.
Oh, they should tell that at the dispensary.
They never
like,
relay
by the way,
this stuff. That's why
freeze
we,
this when you take it unless you're going to have it immediately.
That's why we put it on the packaging. It says here.
What does it say?
Storage in freezer will not diminish potency or whatever.
That's great. That's what people want to know.
You know what I'm saying?
Not just
because
if it keeps it, but they'll
want
to...
You're going to go spend all this money on a product. You're not going to want to eat it all tonight. You better have a way to store it so it doesn't go bad, right?
And, if you, and 5 months later, your buddy comes over...
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you know what? I got those things in the freezer. That's when you want it for occasions
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. Our pretzels freeze really well. The caramel corn freezes well.
Wow.
Throw it all in your freezer.
Fuck yeah. The future is now.
Thanks
love
to freezers.
Yeah.
And weed.
What are you going to do in L.A.? Anything fun?
No, it's Monday, you know. My week's just kind of starting. So I'm going to be running around just for a few more days. I go back up on Thursday.
I'm going to text this guy right now and tell him that you're here.
Which guy?
The guy who runs Zen.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like you should be part of there. Because they really
cool.
They're not crazy expensive, but they're on like the... All right, I'll pay that for an
eighth. Do they call themselves ZMG by a chance?
Possibly. Mm. But they were one of the early dispensaries, too.
Okay.
So when all the shutdowns are happening, they're like, that's not going to affect us.
Yeah.
They're like, we're grandfathered in. But their stuff is always like, their smokables or flowers, whatever you call them. They're like super smooth. You never cough off them. And they're always top shelf quality. So
cool.
You're like, some places you don't know what you're getting, but they always do. It's like, a place like that
should
have your stuff
in there. I would love to go by there. I'll totally go by and bring some samples. Just tell me who to talk to.
I'm doing it right now. Bring some. Okay. Fuck. All right, I'll do it in a second. But remind me, because I feel like you should be in there.
Okay. I will.
All right. I think that's it. That thing is kicking in now, so I can feel myself losing control of where I'm going with this. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I had to. It's like this race. It's like when you get high and your mom calls, and you're like, fuck, I got 3 minutes till this kicks in. Maybe she just needs something fast. I can do it instead of having a hangover my head the whole time I'm high.
Oh, my God.
And then it'll give me anxiety. Was there anything you wanted to add about this whole process? Like, tell me about the stuff that you've gotten into. Anything crazy? Have you had any like hardships in this process?
Nothing but hardships.
Yeah,
it's been a lot of ups and downs. You know, it's not an easy industry to be in. I'm not going to paint a picture like it is because, you know, it kind of sucks when you're like doing something that you're making a product that lots of people want, lots of people actually need. And then like you're like, well, this sucks that I could like I have to be in hiding and I have to like. You know, live like a criminal, essentially, just to carry this out, you know. And it, right now, it's my livelihood along with 10 other people. I take it very seriously, you know. And I don't appreciate having this extra added layer of
Stress,
security. Like, it's very, it's like, it,
because you sort of know at any moment, it could, like, go totally downhill on a...
Yeah. All because of some crazy outdated laws around cannabis.
Seems so stupid.
You know?
I'm going to get caught in New York because people are like, Ari, you're so complacent from living in L.A. You have got to watch. There's a cop station around the corner. There's
I told you, man, you used to be able to walk down the street in New York and smoke weed all day long right next to a cop.
In the 90s.
All day long. Oh, yes.
God.
I can't tell you how many times I just smoked weed in Washington Square Park in the 90s, like with cops staring right at me.
They just wouldn't care.
No.
That's what it should be. Washington Square Park is made for that.
You can thank Giuliani for all that.
I will. But I'll do it sarcastically.
Please do. Okay. Tell him a few things for me while you're at it.
Right.
Which I'll tell you offline.
And I like your baldness. Also sarcastic. Hey, I want to put one of these. Do you have one of these on your website?
Yes, there is.
I want to put one on my web on this website when this comes out.
Okay.
This is great to find out which type of stuff. And so now, I'm looking at this yellow. Does it say, it says all these things? How do I find out what's in here?
These colors don't necessarily correspond with those. These colors are like the different cannabinoids and terpenes that correspond with those particular ailments and conditions.
And does it show which ones are in these?
Yes. Well, it'll show you down here.
Okay, THC 127. Yeah. 120, oh, it's a whole box. Okay, yes. THCV 4.9, 2. It's not percentage, it's just...
actual milligrams.
Milligrams.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So CBG, that's the... release pain.
Yep.
Oh, that's CBD. Hold on. What's CBG? Where's CBG? And it would say it has lemonine in here, too?
CBG is the pink one, and CBG is good for... it's an antibacterial.
Anti-diabetic?
Anti-proliferative, which means it inhibits cancer cell growth, along with THCA, CBDA, CBD, and CBC. So...
this is vomiting and nausea. Okay, so that one, the anti-emetic, that's what you take before mushrooms.
Yes.
Or with mushrooms. The D9-THC and the CBD.
Huh. Interesting. I didn't know that.
That's the only bad thing is you barf once in a while.
Yeah, well, I always do a little bit of cannabis when I do psychedelics for that reason.
Oh.
You know, just a touch. Yeah. You know, you don't need to throw
kicks it into overdrive.
Gasoline on the fire.
First time my friend freaked out was in Malibu Creek State Park. And he, my other friend, Dan, was like, here's the joint that's going to kick us in the face. And he kept saying, like, let's get to the joint that's going to kick us in the face. It was just a solid cone joint. And we smoked it, and it kicked us in the face. Guy freaked out and hitchhiked away. He got in the back of a cop car to take me into town.
No.
Yeah. And there was a nice cop who must have known. A guy hitchhiking, being weird, hitchhiking out of a campsite. At fucking 1 a.m. He must have known.
A cop? Where did he take you to?
He took him to, way above, not me, my friend, to like 40 minutes away, up this hill to a McDonald's that was closed. And he just stood there and he called a cab from there. It was like a $150 cab back into town, which he didn't have.
Oh my God, that's really funny.
Hi. But nothing bad happened to him in the end.
Hilarious.
Just like everyone who always takes mushrooms. Yeah, tonight I'll be playing. But my name's Ari. I'm the last guy in there. Yeah. There you go. Yeah,
come
on back.
Come check it out.
It starts at 9.
At 9?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
No, we're here for the night.
Fuck yeah, do it. Why not? It's a good time. Get drunk.
That's easy.
You get fucked up in here, and it's fun, filthy stuff. Come by late, too. Even if you come by at like midnight, this place keeps going.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Works for me.
Yeah. I'll see you tonight.
Have a good one.
This is the best place to get drunk late at night, too.
Is it?
Yeah, order work
are
off
the drinks
a high.
Strong? Those drinks last night at that other place,
so
man, fucked me up. I woke up with a crazy headache
Factor?
This morning.
Really?
A little bit.
It
happens, you know?
It happens.
I should have ordered the top shelf. I didn't. I was being a cheap ass.
So you don't ever smoke pot? I was going to say, if you come tonight, I'll smoke pot with you. There's plenty of places to smoke here.
I don't turn it down. I mean, it's not like it doesn't ever get me high. It's just, you know, if I'm going to get weed, I usually have other vices to turn to.
Yeah. What if this doesn't work? I'll take another one. When should I do that?
If it doesn't work?
When should I take another one if it's not?
I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't take another one?
Are you not feeling it?
I'm feeling a little bit. I'll wait another 30 minutes. Sometimes they kick in like...
Your tolerance might be higher than, you know,
Sometimes it kicks in like 3 hours later.
What?
When you're like, ah, I guess nothing. And then all of a sudden, like, bug.
Did
my
you
friend
just
Robbie.
Eat before
no.
This? Nope.
Uh-uh. I mean, a couple protein bars. That's it. I guess that's enough, actually. That was like an hour and a half ago.
Well, but that's a long
before
time.
This.
Oh, it was an hour and a half before you ate the brownie?
Yeah.
Oh, that
before.
Shouldn't be an issue at that point.
Yeah, hour and a half.
See how it goes. Maybe it's slow to kick in.
My friend Robbie took ice skating stuff for a plane ride from Canada to Australia. For him and friends. It was like, take stuff, just like stuff I'd gotten in Toronto. I didn't take them. They were okay. He took a lollipop, didn't do anything to them. I took one thing I had from L.A., which I knew would be good enough. He said he waited an hour and a half, didn't do anything, took that. And he was like, wait another hour and a half, didn't do anything. And he was like, fuck this. His friend didn't want to take anything. And so then he took another one, went to the bathroom to go pee. And he said, as he peed, he was like, fuck. And it just all three kicked in.
God.
I don't really understand the kicking in part.
I know. It's just, there's all these different elements involved, you know, that
yeah.
determine how fast or slow it's going to hit
see.
You.
I'll see. I'll wait till my interview with Kreischer starts and then
yeah,
we'll know.
Yeah, don't take another one just yet.
And then
you know,
we'll know
I don't even
I
think it's been a full hour, to be honest. It's only 4:15.
You know what I like to do, but I'm never smart enough to do it with any sort of drugs, is to just start my clock on my phone so I know like how long this has been, because I know
it's
I'll be wondering
idea.
And I know I won't remember the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's a really good
I
idea.
I should take more. Oh, it's been 7 minutes. I should wait. Okay, fine.
Definitely want to wait more than 7
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, or, oh, fuck, it's been 3 hours. I got to get somewhere or whatever. I don't know. Thanks, Juliana.
I like your Pac-Man shirt,
oh,
by
thanks.
The way. It's cute.
Abbey Road Pac-Man
what
version?
What street is that? Is that like a special?
It's Abbey Road where the Beatles crossed in one of
nice.
Their
nice. Oh,
albums.
Duh. There
probably
you go.
Abbey Road. Was that an album by the Beatles? Probably that one.
I know what you're talking about. It didn't click. Those Pac-Man.
Three ghosts
just,
chasing
like,
Pac-Man.
Stand out, so... Brings me back to the good old days.
This is Urban Outfitters. This is easy to find, too.
Of course it is.
Yeah, it just makes it way lamer.
Well, cool. You know what? This is fun.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to do that thing right now with Andrew. All right, cool. I'll text him now for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are you high yet?
Yeah, I'm high now. they go in waves. I forget, too. Like, it doesn't come in all at once. It goes up, down, up, down, up, down, and that whole thing keeps raising.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hang on tight.
The same thing with people on mushrooms. Like, they're like, oh, okay, all right, I'm cool now. And you're like, I don't want to be like, you're not going to be cool in like 20 more minutes. So that's fine, but be prepared for it to happen again and again and again.
That was pretty funny.
All right, cool. Do you have a favorite pot X song do you cook with? Or a song you cook to? Anything like specific that I can go out with?
Well,
do you like working to music?
My favorite song right now is that Arctic Monkeys song.
Which one?
Do I Want to Know?
About what? Somebody cheated?
Okay. No. I think he's talking about how he's like got the hots for this lady, and he's telling her at nighttime because he can't say it in the daytime. You know, it's like he's got to have a few drinks mm-hmm. before he tells the girl that he wants to take her home and
really?
Do special things to her.
Do you want to know?
Do I want to know? It's Arctic Monkeys. It's such a great song.
Oh, like it's from the girl's point of view? Like, do I want
to
know? What you're about
no,
to
it's
me?
A guy. It's a, okay. a guy.
Right,
yeah, just listen to the lyrics.
No, it's in.
No, the Arctic Monkeys are great, man. I'm all about that kind of rock and roll.
Yeah, they're pretty great. What happened to them?
I don't know.
New album? They were massive for a while.
No, they're about to come out with an album, I believe. That was their single, so it's coming soon, I guess.
Okay.
It's yeah, they're good.
All right, cool. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Ari.
Because there's this tune I found that makes me think of you somehow, and I play it on repeat until I fall asleep, spilling drinks on my settee. If this feeling flows both ways,
Boom Time! That's the episode, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks to Auntie Dolores. If you go to your dispensary, if you have one in NorCal, SoCal, or anywhere, Seattle or Washington State, maybe you shouldn't do it there. Ask them to please order some Auntie Dolores cookies. They are great, you guys. That 500 milliliter, my milligram fucking brownie is enough for 3 or 4 people. That's a music festival in a capsule. But the peanut butter brownie is good enough for 2 regular people, 1 monster person like myself. Now, some stories of overdoses. And by the way, don't forget to go to the Storyteller Show on August 27th, Tuesday. That's tomorrow if you're listening to this today. If you don't know what today is, today's Monday, August 26th. All right, so... And by the way, if you want to see me in New York all through September, I will be here. When I'm not on the road, I'll be at the Stand. So come to the Stand. Great food, great comedy, Big J's all there all the time. They have great lineups. Consistently great lineups. So now, some overdose stories. And don't forget to use my Amazon link. If you're going to shop for Amazon, go through AriShafir.com. Hit the link, then go through Amazon. It takes you to Amazon, and then I get cash back from all their purchases. So here we go. Episode overdose story number one. I was on a plane with a pot cookie with Joe Rogan. Ate too much of one. Started getting the sweats. Started getting the spins. I was positive. I have this thing where I have low blood pressure. A doctor once told me to get more sodium in my diet. So I tried that. Eat more salt. I asked him to be clear. Another doctor told me Gatorade. Get electrolytes in there. I do that too sometimes. But this depression medication that I take, the Cyprimine, exacerbates the low blood pressure. It makes it worse. That is the one side effect, which is not a tough side effect to deal with. It means I have to get out of a car and I have to hold on to the hood for like 20, 30 seconds. You know, and that happens all through the day, once a week. Not that bad. My friends know. They're like, what's... I'm like, head rush. They're like, oh, okay. Just a head rush. It happens more often than you. But what happens is, the way it was explained, is as you stand up, with low blood pressure, it means you have no pressure in the veins. So all the blood, in a way, kind of rushes to your feet because your blood stays there. And it all, as you stand, it sort of stays. And now you have no blood or less blood in your brain. So you get low blood pressure. You get the rush and then you get everything kind of whites out a little bit. And you have to hold on. If you ever see me locking my knees and then unlocking them and locking them again, like backwards, I'm fucked and you should give me a hand. Because I'm about to pass out. I have passed out before on them. I have passed out before. I did a story about it for my This Is Not Happening Storyteller Show. The first one. It was the second one that aired after TJ. But it was the first one. The one that started off the series when we taped them. About me going to a UFC. And taking a pot cookie. Now, my thought was, I'm in a plane. I'm sitting in first class right next to Joe Rogan, my friend. And I start sweating. I start getting the cold sweats. And I start spinning. And I go, oh, fuck. I'm going to pass out. When this plane takes off, the blood, because of the rise, the blood is all going to rush to my feet. And I'm going to pass out. Hey, not so bad. Done it before. Been there, done that. But the plane is going to continue taking off. And instead of the blood catching up, like when I stand up, the blood eventually works itself out. And it goes through my system and all the veins and the arteries. And it goes back up to my brain. And it gives me the blood. I can stand up, I'm fine. Because I'm not standing up more. But when I'm on the plane, we are taking off for about 2 minutes of rising into the air. So of that rising time, the blood, I thought, will stay in my feet and stay away from my brain. And I will pass out and the blood will stay out of my brain and I will die. It is like being choked unconscious, but instead of letting go at that point and the blood rushing back to your brain, I will just keep losing it from my brain and I will die. And I was positive this is going to happen. I was 90% positive this was going to happen. And I was pretty close to telling the stewardess, we were already away from the gate, but we had not taken off yet. We were waiting to taxi. I was really close to saying, get me off the plane. Stewardess, I have to get off the plane. I have to get off the plane right now. I got to get off. I'm going to die. I got to get off the plane. Knowing that I may be arrested. I may be in a lot of trouble. But it was worth it. I didn't want to die. The one thing that kept me from doing that, from complaining to the stewardesses, was seeing Joe Rogan sitting there next to me, putting his mouthpiece in so he could take a nap, knowing that if I did that, and the 10% of me that thought, I'm not going to die, if that part comes true, I will never hear the end of it. I will never hear the end of it, of how I pussed out on a pot cookie. So I dug my nails into the armrests, and I sweated it out. And we took off, and I did get low blood pressure, but I did not die. Spoiler alert. That's number one. Number two, don't forget, Calgary in September. Wisconsin in September. San Francisco in October. And This Is Not Happening Storyteller Show, October 1st at Cheetah's in Hollywood. Diaz is doing it. Second story on Apocalypse, overdosing. There's no death that comes from this. I gave it to a girl I was dating, Shay Manis, or Manis, however you say it. She's not a pot smoker. I got her to a hot box a couple times, or whatever that thing is when you breathe it and then breathe it into their mouth, like kiss it into them. It's pretty hot. She's done that a couple times. Doesn't have a tolerance at all. She's a boozer. Again, whatever your drug is, go for it. I gave her a piece of the banana bread that Joey Diaz found. The banana bread, which was deadly. You could eat a quarter of the piece of the banana bread and you were fucked. I took maybe a third of one of those pieces to go to Magic Mountain with Eric Abrams and Ryan Sickler and a couple other people. Sickler said he can't get high off edibles, which may be true. Big J says the same thing. But I just have to give him one of those 500 milligram brownies and we'll see. And then if he doesn't get high, he just can't get high. But so Shay wanted to try it. So I gave her a quarter-sized piece of the banana bread. And I am not exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating on the low side. It was a quarter-sized, maybe a half-dollar-sized piece. Turns out I should have given her a nickel-sized piece because she was gone. She got high, and then she got higher, and then she got higher, and then she started barfing. She was in my bathroom in my apartment in LA just barfing as the body was rejecting this much of something. It's like you've never drank before and you have 3 glasses of wine and then you'll start barfing. But then if you're a boozer, you can have 6 glasses of wine and you're fine. And she started barfing, but then she stopped barfing and then she started barfing more like 30 minutes later. The whole time, by the way, I'm still trying to get laid. I'm still trying to fuck her. And she eventually has stuff. She's sweating and I'm just high. I get horny when I get high. And I'm just high and having a good time. I'm like, so what are you doing now? She's like, stop it, Ari. I'm barfing. What an asshole I am. She swore off it from then on. So I had to give her like a dime size piece of the banana bread. It was good. It was deadly. Third OD story. I am flying from LA to New York last December, 25th. I'm flying to New York to tape my special, Passive Aggressive, which you guys should all get. It's $5. It's less than the price of a large Starbucks coffee. And it is 1 hour and 12 minutes of the finest comedy I've ever been to. Like, not close. Like, not close. It's hard. It's my hard work for 2012. And I recorded it on December 26th, 2012. Could have been December 28th. I forget now. Maybe I flew earlier. And I got Airbnb and I got a place in New York, in Brooklyn, because I figured I've never stayed in Brooklyn and I'm recording there at the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn. And let me see what it's like while I'm there. And that way I won't have to I want to stay for a few days, do some workout sets, get set before I record my special. It's available right now at chill.com/Ari if you want to go straight there. If not, there's also a Maria Bamford special, a Doug Benson documentary on weed, a Kyle Kinane, sort of a fun show he did in Chicago. Kinane also did a story for my storyteller show. Anyway, flying home, I got arranged with a guy who does Airbnb. If you know what Airbnb is, you just rent somebody's apartment for the week. It's way cheaper. You get an actual apartment. You can come and go as you please. You can get a whole apartment. You can get one room. I got a whole apartment. Didn't want to deal with it. It was great. Right near Lorimer Street. Walking distance from the Knitting Factory. So he wasn't going to be there. He was going on vacation with his girl, the guy who owned the place. The guy who rented the place. And so we arranged ahead of time. He sends me the keys to my apartment in LA. Got it. All great. A week to spare. Get the spare keys. Packed. I'm getting ready to take my special. I'm on my way home. I am an hour outside of LA. We're flying. I'm an hour outside of LA. I'm taking the red eye. When it suddenly hits me that I left that key. I left that key on... Who is this? You ever been to Brazil? I left that key on my counter in LA. So I'm going to Brooklyn. I have no idea how to get a hold of this guy. He's gone on vacation. I'm on a plane until I land for another 4 hours. I can't get hold of him. and I have no place to go. I have no way of getting to the place I'm staying at. And that thought process, that me just thinking negative thoughts, tempt me into a tailspin. And I started spinning. I got the spins, like you get when you drink too much. You know how you have to lie down in a bed and sort of like, or even lie on the floor? So I got those. Just the spins. And I start sweating. But I've been through this before. I've been through it now. So I know how to handle it. I had a day once when I took a pot cookie at a UFC. I was sitting next to Jamie Kilstein and his wife. I was sitting next to a bunch of people at a UFC fight in Vegas. Kevin James was there. They were researching that MMA movie he did. Jeff Sussman, his manager, was there with Chandra, Rogan's manager. And it was just like, it was a great time, but I got way too high. And that's when I got the thought in my head of, Jamie Kilstein told me, the thought in my head of when you're too high, this is when you know you're too high and you have to stop talking because people will know that you're too high, is when people turn to you. This is in my story on This Is Not Happening, so YouTube it. But when they turn to you and they say, when any of your friends turn to you and they say, wait, what? That means you're too high, stop talking, they're going to find out you're high and they're going to ruin your high. So Kilstein had already told me that. And so I just stopped talking. I just kept my mouth shut. And later, after the fights, we were backstage and Kevin James is there, who I know doesn't touch that shit. And Sussman and all these real straight people. All these real straight people are there. And I'm there, Mayhem's there, and who else is there? Maybe Brian Reichel. There was somebody like in my crew. Because I remember I just keep my mouth shut, just going, Ari, and I reason with myself, as long as you don't open your mouth, no one will know. I've been around people that are high too often. No one will know. So just keep your mouth shut. And so I was able to do that, and I didn't make a fool of myself. No one knew. I think I might have told, if Reichel was there, I might have told him, like, Brian, I'm so high. And he might have just laughed about it, and then we went back to that circle of straight edge people. I don't want to bother people with my drug use. So even when like Rogan's there and he takes edibles, I'm not going to fucking get him into it because he's talking to straight people. Anyway, I've been through that already, so I know. I just have to sit there and take it. And I was like, here I am on the plane. I was like, Ari, let the spins happen. Let them happen for 30 minutes, and when you're done, deal with it. So I got on the Wi-Fi in the plane. I did the spins for 30 minutes, got on the Wi-Fi in the plane. I emailed the guy, and then I realized, oh, on the iPhone, you can, with Wi-Fi, you can do that blue text where you don't send it over text. You send it through MMS. There's some other way where you can do it where you don't have to have a connection. You can only have an internet connection, and you can still send it. So if this guy was on an iPhone, I could get through to him. Was on an iPhone. Texted him. Said, hey, I left my key there. Took care of it. His neighbor was able to let me in. He was mad about it, but he gave me a key. And I just had to not lock the front door the whole time I was there. Got the guy a bottle of wine. It was all taken care of. And it was all fine. But that 30 minutes of overdose was the last time I OD'd on a pot cookie. They're fun now. Because now I know. I know what this path is like. That's the only thing that holds people back, by the way. I was talking about this with my friend Pete. We're all doing mushrooms in Sequoia. And Willie fucking freaked out again. He freaked out again. He freaked out last time when we were in Joshua Tree, and at about 5 a.m., we're all about ready to go to sleep after camping. Willie goes, oh, this is not good. This is not good. And it's just like, what now? We're all going to bed, man. We got to talk you down from throwing yourself into the fire or running out into the woods with the bears. Ugh. So we did it. But here's what I realized. At some point, we realized, like, that's just fighting the mushrooms. I know this is not edible talk now, but it's a type of edible. That's just when you fight the mushrooms. And from what I've heard is Terrence McKenna and all these people who researched it, Leary, they would take such a massive dose of LSD or mushrooms that you couldn't fight it. You had to just accept that this thing is taking me over now. And I will say, next time I'm going to do mushrooms, I'm going to do a heavy dose like that. I'm just going to like let it take me and hug the ground. But just accept it. Just accept that you don't have control. And do that on the pot cookies. Once you get to the place like, oh, this is, don't fight it and try to hold on to your sense of reality. Just sit back at the Comedy Store. I'm going to call them right now as soon as it's done. And enjoy yourself. Just laugh. Big dog. Just laugh. All right, you guys, that's the episode. So thank you for Auntie Dolores. Make sure to ask for her stuff at your local dispensary. Always good. The pretzels are great. Maybe I'll have some of that right now. The pretzels are great. Everything's great. The fucking popcorn is awesome, and a good fun high too. If you're on vacation with a girl, have her take like 4 kernels. You take 7 or 8, and just enjoy yourself. Just walk around the beach and laugh and laugh. That's what I did with my friend Aaron. We went to Comic Con and we took the edibles. No, Comic Con we just drank mimosas, but we took the edibles and went to La Jolla and just sat on the beach and just a fun time. Those edibles are great. And Auntie Dolores makes great ones. So, anyway, you guys, that's the episode. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 129. Please go to my website, Ari the Great, for tickets. And go to the... look at all the dates I have on there. 2 things in Wisconsin, you know, Madison and Appleton. Calgary coming up. San Francisco coming up. Tons of dates at the Stand and all over New York City. And that's it. Oh, and I did this thing with Mick Betancourt. I did Mick Betancourt's podcast. Mick Betancourt was a comic I started with, and then he got into like serious. He'll be on my podcast at some point. Got into serious drama. Started writing them. Law and Order, the Black Donnellys. Now he's working on some new show. But it was a really good podcast, you guys. And if they're anything like the rest of them, like the rest of them that he's done, I would say, go check out Mick Betancourt's podcast. It's Betten, I think Court, but it might just be Cort. But check it out. And when mine airs, I think in September 9th, I think, listen to that one. I'll tweet about it. But it was really solid. We got kind of deep. And fun, too. And fun. But what was I going to say, Mick Betancourt? I have the mumbles now. What was I going to say about that? What was I going to say about that? Man, I don't know. Oh, well. Oh, I know. So we did this thing where he didn't have a sponsor. Like, I don't have a sponsor for this episode, although you should still use my Amazon link. Also use my 1-800-Flowers or ProFlowers. I forget what company even sponsors me. But one of those two. If you want to get flowers to somebody, go to my website. Or if you want to get a free trial for Gamefly, go to my website. There's 3 things. Amazon, Gamefly, and ProFlowers. I'm guessing ProFlowers. So if you use all of those, it's a free 2-week trial on Gamefly. But the Amazon's the best one because that's what people use anyway. So go to my website, arithegreat.com. Go through the Amazon link, use that, and go to all my tour dates. Go see me live. I'm trying to build another hour. The hour's going really well right now. Don't know yet where I'm recording it. I think maybe LA. Okay, so. Oh, Mick Betancourt. So he didn't have sponsors, but he said instead of sponsors, he gives it up. He lets somebody write in and tells him a cool local business that he gives props for. I like that. I like that idea. So I couldn't think of one, and I got embarrassed later because I thought of a great one. So I'm not going to do this all the time, but sometimes I'm going to give it up for a great business. And in Indianapolis, Indiana, there is a Creole Cajun restaurant called Yats, Yat's. There is one on College Street, and there's one downtown. The one on College Street's the one to go to. The one downtown's good, too. But the one on College Street's like the first one, I think. And there might be 2 other locations, too. But it is amazing food. It's amazing. It's so fucking good. That chicken, that... there's so much good food there. And it's cheap. I mean, you're talking about with the giant drink and sides, you're talking about $12. And the hot sauces they have, it's so good. And then you get to play this great game where you go with friends. You get to play this race of getting home before you shit yourself. Because that food will go right through you. It'll go right through you, and you'll have the shits in no time. But the good shits, the good smooth shits, that wipe real easily. And it's just a cool fucking place. It's cool on the inside. It looks cool, but the food is the main thing. They have seating outside on a nice day. You want to sit outside in the sun. But they're just a cool idea, the place. It's cash only, and if you don't have any cash on you, they go, don't worry, man. Get me the next time. And they just ask you to be honest and pay the next time double. They're just cool, and I've met the guy Yat. His name is not Yat, but I call him Yat. His name is Joe. And I saw him. I was like, hey, man, this place is great. And he goes, oh, cool. And he gave me a $40 gift certificate for Yat. So I took the openers and a couple local Indianapolis comics. We all went out to eat on Yat. And $40 covered all of us. and had some left over. I gave it to one of the guys. I was like, here, take it for later. I'm not going to be here for a year. So Yats, everybody. Cajun and Creole. There's one on College Avenue. I believe that's the street that in Broad Ripple. I believe that's the street that Crackers is on. Go check out Yats. That's my public service announcement. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you to Anthony Dolores. So Ari Shaffir, Skip the Tank, episode 129, A Brownie a Day, Wait, what was I talking about again? With Anthony Dolores, over and out.
That's good enough for me. Oh, cookie, 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 start with C. Hey, you know what? A round cookie with one bite out of it looks like a C. A round donut with one bite out of it also looks like a C. But it is not as good as a cookie. Or the moon sometimes looks like a C, but you can't eat that. So, C is for cookie, that's good enough for me. Yeah, C is for cookie, that's good enough for me. C is for cookie, that's good enough for me. Oh, cookie, 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 start with C. Yeah, cookie, 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 start with C. Oh boy, cookie, 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 start with C. Ah!